Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Wednesday, the 11th day of May, 2011. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. Vincent Bugliosi, who's called for George W. Bush to be charged with treason, is going to be joining us today, and I'm going to ask him if Obama should get in trouble for his lies bringing us into new wars, or is this just basically more partisanship? I'm also going to pick his brain, the prosecutor that got, of course, one of the most famous mass murderers or serial killers dead, and that, of course, gentleman needs no introduction, Charlie Manson. Bugliosi also has written a big book poo-pooing those that question the JFK assassination in Dealey Plaza back in 1963. We're going to cover the waterfront with Mr. Bugliosi today. Now, I have Glenn Spencer of American Patrol joining us. I remember Spencer more than 10 years ago in the late 90s, putting out videos predicting there would be secessionist movements of California, Arizona, Texas, Nevada, and that the illegals, along with the help of the Fortune 100 as part of the North American Union, would move to, quote, call it a new state. But basically, it's an enclave of Mexico. And if you look at the new announcement that's been made and gotten almost no media attention, I mean, it's in NPR, AP, Reuters, but it's like, oh, how cute. They're going to get the votes, and they're getting the petitions to go to the legislature and create the 51st state and break it off. Of course, it borders Mexico, just like the Russians have South Ossetia and Abkhazia on their southern border, basically taking part of Georgia. We're going to start ceding land to a new little enclave that will have wide-open borders. Just absolutely incredible. And folks are like, this will never pass. No, this is the beginning of the Balkanization of America. It's a long-term strategic plan. First, they create a larger North American Union and then transfer the power to the multinationals. But then within Canada, within the U.S., within Mexico, they will then break certain areas off to be ethnic enclaves that are then basically funded and militarized by the globalists. To then play different subsections of the larger system off against each other. First, they water down sovereignty by creating super regions. Then they internally break those super regions up into enclaves. And this is just standard New World Order great game operations. And if you missed those articles yesterday, liberals in southern Arizona seek to form new state. That's Reuters, New York Magazine. Arizona liberals are trying to form their own tiny liberal state. Well, it's a beachhead for La Reconquista, La Infusora. Also, Obama ready to roll out new amnesty carpet for illegals, including, this is like the Republican legalization plan of 4 years ago, including felons. Of course, you come across from Latin America into Mexico, you get a year of hard labor in a slave camp. And just search. Mexico is the hardest on immigrants of any country in the world after North Korea. I mean, you go to a slave camp. They get your family info, and they call your family up, especially if you're in the U.S., and they say, look, we've run your credit. We see you got about $400,000 you could probably pay us. Do that or your husband's son or daughter's dead. And they just point blank, we're going to murder your family. And the Latin Americans, they just beat them, kill them, torture them, and it's oh so liberal and good. So we're going to be, and Robert Rodriguez makes movies where Texas ranchers kill pregnant Hispanic women, not real, and the coyotes are heroes. Of course, every week they find new mass graves on the Texas border where the coyotes line up little kids, women, children, blow their heads off, chop their heads off because they didn't pay them the cash, try to sneak across. And you've got the Mexican mafia basically running a lot of the Hispanic media, teaching us how cool it is to be a narco murderer.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Why do we even have state governments in this country if the Democrats and Republican leadership have basically expanded the federal government into every facet of our lives, violated the Bill of Rights, Constitution, Declaration of Independence, prosecuted a coordinated, incremental war of attrition against every canon of a free society? Why do we even have states if Mr. Maddow and others tell us that there is, Rachel Maddow, tell us that there is no such thing as any state rights? And most of the time when I go on MSNBC or Phil Hartman's show on RT or, quote, liberal TV or radio shows, they say, Mr. Jones, you want Texas to secede. You want to have war with the federal government. You want to bring back slavery. You want to all this nonsensical buzzword stuff for their audience. And I respond with, I want the 10th and 9th Amendment up until 1913, the same year we got the income tax and the private Federal Reserve that we pay that money to. Before that, the state legislatures that we elected, I mean, your state legislator was basically a U.S. senator. I mean, they had power because they would then elect, the state would elect the U.S. senator and send them to Washington as a minion of the states. They tried to get rid of U.S. senators during the Civil War, the senators being elected in the states by the legislatures, but they failed. But 1913, they said, look, we got to get federal control now that we're sold out to foreign banks. We've got to get these senators up here so we can buy them off, because every time we buy them off, the states recall them. Oh, the state legislatures could just call a vote and say, Senator Johnson, Senator Brown, Senator Wilson, whatever the name was, you didn't do what the state told you to do, and you're in violation of the 9th and 10th Amendment. You are hereby recalled and relieved. We're holding a special election. We're appointing a new U.S. senator. Not anymore. That's what the 9th and 10th Amendment are about. The federal government protects the border, controls the issuance of currency and credit, and has a navy to defend against invasion, with ground troops to be trained only to be deployed via the navy. That's the Marine Corps. Now, that's it. An army has to then be raised for larger defense, because they were scared of a standing army, because they'd studied Europe, they studied Asia, they'd studied what had happened with the Spanish and French in Latin America. Constantly, the military leaders that Spain and Portugal and others had in Latin America, and the Germans had, the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, were constantly kicking the empire out and declaring themselves supreme emperor over whatever island or country it was, Mexico, you name it. And they were like, we do not want standing military. So these things take over in every case. Now, our military-industrial complex has just done it by getting trillions of dollars a year in tax money, buying off all the infrastructure, financing over 90% of R&D, research and development, and it itself was financed by the big offshore banks. I mean, we're fully, totally captured by offshore banks. America is gone. It doesn't exist. It was taken over a long time ago. And I'm here to break you out of your trance. If we could admit what's happened, just like when a hijacker hijacks a plane, I don't care if some Libyan hijacker 25 years ago dressed up in the captain outfit. They did that a few times. And there were studies done on suddenly the passengers wouldn't resist as much after they had a chance to get into pilot uniform. It was now you're wearing a pilot uniform. Well, we just saw you hijack the plane with a gun and a bomb, but so that's how psychology works. Well, go ahead and do what you say. You're wearing the uniform. And it's the same psychological warfare system today. In 1913, predominantly owned by the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, and Bank of England, this is on record, took over the issuance of currency and credit. One of the three things the feds are supposed to do. Since then, under NAFTA and GATT, we have a continental security perimeter, and we're supposed to merge our nations. That's public. Bush put it into place. Obama publicly signed it, 2 months ago? After that furor and the fight we had against it 5-4-3 years ago with Bush, building up to this. They played possum and said, you won, we're backing off. So I'm ranting about states' rights right now because it's so important to understand that I am not a secessionist. At this point, the federal government's been seized by traitors who wear our garb, wear our uniforms, speak in our language, just as Cicero. Well, you guys pulled me the Cicero quote about traitor is the plague. Just Cicero quote, Rome, 2,046 years ago, I believe is the date of the quote, right before they killed him. The traitor is the plague, and then get me that full quote. But the point is, the outside enemy that comes with their banner openly, they're not the threat because you can mobilize against it. The traitor is the plague because they come from within. Now, the government's been taken over. The feds are trying to federalize the states so that we don't have the recourse to get our government and our federal government back. And down the road, we may just have to go with secession because I've always said this for more than a decade from studying history and the globalists and how they operate in other nations, what they're setting up here. Because the globalists create mega unions, but then within that union create new boundaries along religious, ethnic, and socioeconomic lines. And the Romans would do this in regions they took over, breaking them up and putting different minions into different areas. They would get black Africans to fight with their neighbors just because they were a different tribe. They would get Gaul, France, Germania, Germany today, the Ostrogoths in Austria, the ancient Swiss. They would literally just find out with their own anthropology, and Caesar wrote a book on it, others wrote books on it, Julius Caesar did, how they would play different people off against each other. Battle of Gaul, good book. Used to have people read it in high school. That's when I first read it. Just amazing. I learned so much just from that, and since I've read more than 100 books just on what the Romans did. And they would go in, send spies in, usually to live as traitors for years, trading amongst the groups. It's like that Star Trek episode. I'm not a big Star Trek fan, but I did see it when I was a kid. The old-fashioned Star Trek with Captain Kirk, where they go to this planet, and there's the two living, last two living people of that planet, and they've all killed each other in wars, and one side has a black face on the left, and the other side has a black face on the right. The one side of the face is white, the other side of the face is black. And one group was the elite group, and the other group is the slave group. They're identical genetically, just that for that one little trait that the sides of the face are flipped, and they had wars till they exterminated each other. And going back to reality, that's what the British Empire did in India. That's what they did in Africa. That's what the French did. It's what the Dutch did. They would go in for a few years, study things, look at things, write manuals, write letters back to London. This is what we suggest you do. We've been studying them for a decade. This tribe hates that tribe. This other tribe hates that tribe. You use this tribe to knock out that tribe. And these other two tribes that don't like the other tribe, you move them in to destroy them. And then they'll all be weakened and destroyed. This should probably take 1 year of warfare. We'll give weapons to just this one group. Then once they're done, you roll in. Also, please, as quickly as you can, try to send some people from a nearby settlement that have smallpox. We want to give them some blankets to wipe them out. That's an official British manuals used pre 1776 from the French and Indian War, how to open the pus sores with people that had smallpox, smear it, and how to get it to the Indians within 1 day. They found that it was fresher. They didn't even know the science of microbes at the time, but that as long as it was a day or so, that the smallpox was still communicable. I mean, it's all been scientifically figured out hundreds of years ago. And so we are probably going to have to move for secession just to protect the states. See, there's criminals in the federal government that are globalists who are already balkanizing the states to later break them up. And I've been saying this for over a decade. And so the only way I'll be for secession, I want to reestablish 10th Amendment, 9th Amendment, get the federal government back at the place it's supposed to be. They won't control the borders. That's in the Constitution. They won't control the currency and credit. That's been given to foreign banks. And they run all over the world in imperial operations. That is also not what they're supposed to do in the Constitution. They're supposed to just have a navy and defend us from invasion, which, again, they won't do from the third world country to our south that is a failed state. Now, the reason I give you some of that history and some background is here's Reuters. Liberals in southern Arizona seek to form new state. New York Magazine. Arizona liberals are trying to form their own tiny liberal state. On the border is a beachhead to project globalist influence. Why does the Fortune 100 fund the Reconquista, La Infosora, Reconquering Invasion movement? Not that they're ever really going to be given the Southwest. The Mexican people don't run anything in Mexico. They're total slaves. If you dare try to illegally immigrate to Mexico from Latin America, you're put for 1 year in forced labor. If you come from a wealthy country, they run your credit report and threaten to kill you and suck every dime out of your family. I mean, it's a total criminal state. But the globalists understand tribalism. So they come in for 60 years. The Ford Foundation pays for almost every textbook in Mexico. This is all on record. And Mexico admits they have the most draconian immigration laws in this hemisphere. But that's all okay and reasonable because, you know, they can do no wrong. Mexico is a globalist client state. And they go into the average education, sixth grade, and they teach them. America belongs to you. You're going to get the gringo. Plan of San Diego. Don't know what that is. It's a plan to take over in a race war and kill all whites below the age of 16. I mean, you can just look it up right now. University of Texas, major Mexican universities, if you know how to speak Spanish, it's taught we will kill all whites. Now, that's funded by the Rothschild Rockefeller Ford Foundation. They went and, well, actually, the Germans first had the plan along race lines World War I. If you want to know about the whole plan of San Diego, they launched an attack in South Texas, killed whole families, wiped out a lot in that attack. But then the Ford Foundation picked that back up, and So what they're planning to do is start breaking off enclaves to be basically part of Mexico. Already 87 miles into Arizona, they have big signs up, don't go down this road, don't go in this national park. It's basically now part of Mexico. This is the globalists are conquering us via Mexico. This is not America. No, this is not what any free society would look like. Now I'm going to finish up in this segment ahead of our guest joining us in a little over an hour with how the UN, via the big banks, is going to break up this country. Now, they won't succeed this first time. They're just introducing the idea of border states all having part of the state broken off, in this case 87 miles and south, and merged as a Hispanic race state. And that's what it is, and that's what's been pushed, and we've known about it for a long time, and that's why in Arizona, Glenn Spencer has been raising the alarm for more than a decade. But when they roll it out to you, it's like, oh, a 51st state, how cute, run by liberals that want open borders. They're not liberals at all. They're conquerors. Now, the people, see, I don't care what color your skin is. It's your brain. And the illegal aliens, I've seen the national statistics. You can pull them up. Over 90%, when they become citizens, end up being what you call hardcore liberals, which it's not liberal to take somebody's gun. I mean, liberal would be more freedom, more guns, if you use the term as Thomas Jefferson did. But everything's turned around. They vote to take my guns, to take my private property. And, of course, they never get any of it, whether you're a socialist, liberal, white person, black person, Hispanic, doesn't matter. But they get the promise of that, and they get a little chicken feed. A little, you know, crumbs from the table. They're being used as political weapons. We border a narco-terrorist state of unfathomable corruption. Every week I see headlines that are just buried in the back of the El Paso Times, the Austin American Statesman, about the epidemics of kidnapping going on. I mean, we're like Mexico City now in Texas. And when it's an illegal alien kidnapping people, it's just a little footnote. Well, it's not politically correct to talk about that. And political correctness is just the cover. This is part of the breakdown of society, driving down the wages. And every week, you can type it in this week. In fact, just type more mass graves found on U.S.-Mexico border. We'll do it right now for you. If you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, if you're a radio listener, just type more mass graves found on Texas-Mexico border or more mass graves Arizona-Texas border. But it's never Robert De Niro playing the part of a Texan with a Texas accent, an evil white guy with a Stetson cowboy hat, with a woman going, please, I'm pregnant, don't kill my baby. And he's like, I hate Mexicans, I want to kill all your babies. No, that's not who's killing the pregnant women. It's the coyotes, it's the Mexican military, it's the cartels that work for our criminal government. If they catch you not paying your $2,000 passage, they line up men, women, and children. I saw a report a few months ago where there were hundreds of people in a barn, men, women, children. They cut their heads off. Let's go ahead and put that back up. Let's go ahead and they actually found an article about mass graves. Mexican officials recovered 96 bodies so far in Durango. That's on the border with the U.S. There you go. I mean, it's that's April 27th. That's a little over a week ago, but I know I saw it in the Statesman last week. I mean, they're just digging up bodies left and right. But that's not an issue. Oh, no, because in reality, Mexico's collapsing in a hellhole run by total criminals teamed up with the Fortune 100, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase that run that place. And for 60 years, the Ford Foundation has taught every Mexican school child not about liberty, freedom, the ideas of private property, Second Amendment. Oh, they're disarmed. They don't have private property. They're slaves. I mean, in Mexico, if you're a little guy, don't come from the right family, you try to start a business and don't make the payoffs, you're dead. I mean, I've been in southern Mexico trying to look at pyramids, and the military just stops buses and shakes down the bus driver and gets a bunch of cash off of him, and the Mexican troops laugh at the poor guy when he's got to go out and do it. And see, that's where America's going. There it is. 25 more bodies recovered in Mexico. Soldiers continue to find mass graves. Fox News. Soldiers unearth more bodies in narco graves in northern Mexico. Associated Press. On and on. But see, the average Hispanic American that watches a movie like Machete, oh, all those bodies were killed by white guys in cowboy hats. Of course, none of them were. And there's this, for many years, there's this fable that there are Minutemen at the border shooting illegals as they come across. And they actually teach people in Texas schools this is happening. None of it's true. All complete lies. But see, if you have a movie by Robert Rodriguez where the coyotes are heroes and the white guys with cowboy hats are the devil, well, see, they think perception's reality. So it's all to balkanize our country, and now they're getting ready to slice off a third of Arizona, including Tucson, to just have another breach into the U.S. and march forward. And I was on ManCal this morning, and he didn't believe me about all this. And then the callers were calling in, going, yeah, I'm part of the La Reconquista La Infosora. We are taking over. Go home, pilgrims. We're going to get you. Look, the bankers are going to use you to bring America down, and then you'll be even more enslaved than you were in Mexico. Okay? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie. No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives, even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream, and the state has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
All right, we've got the biggest bombshell news of the total Pentagon cybersecurity takeover of society now being publicly announced. We have a cornucopia of absolute documentation that we're going to be covering here in just a moment. But I want to finish up on this whole secession issue. The corporate media hysterically demonizes anyone that talks about states asserting their sovereignty and states' rights, and they call it secession and make bizarre statements about wanting to return slavery and things that have nothing to do with it, just as buzzwords. Like, you don't like government-run health care? You don't like black people? And you're like, what does that have to do? And they're like, ah, racist, shut up. Well, then you get mega corporations that fund Mecha, La Raza, all these Hispanic Ku Klux Klan groups, Raza means the race. And again, I want to get along with people. I like everybody. Okay? And they frame all Hispanics' view for them in our media that if you're Hispanic, doesn't matter if you're from Chile, Brazil, Venezuela, Puerto Rico, doesn't matter, you are anti-America and you're anti-American sovereignty. Well, I'm going to ask those groups, why is the Fortune 100, and you can go read who funds all those organizations, Lou Lack, all of it, Mecha La Raza, and it's J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Miller Brewing, Ford, Chevy. And these groups are all pushing the North American Union, the Continental Security Zone. The deals were signed 3 years ago to, quote, use Canadian and Mexican troops domestically in each other's countries and vice versa with American troops for civil insurrection, foreign troops. And then I get up here and I say, look, you don't want to vote for people that are anti-gun if you've become a citizen. But see, they teach them racial identity. And then say, and part of your racial identity is you're going to vote to take guns, you're going to vote for socialism. But then the socialist money is taken and given to the bankers offshore, not to them. And that's why this is such a threat. And America is caught in a pincer attack. From the poor people dependent on welfare, 45 million on food stamps, the 30 million illegal aliens, many of which do work hard, also have government jobs, driving down the wages. A lot of the wives stay home. In fact, I was seeing statistics a few years ago that on average in Los Angeles, illegal aliens on average are on three different forms of assistance. So that's how they can work for less because they're also getting assistance. And the government knows they're illegal. Texas gives driver's license to illegals. We roll out the red carpet, but you go to Mexico, you're a piece of trash if you're a foreigner, whether you're from Guatemala or Canada. Now, here's the key to this. When you look at it, I got a guy who works in my office, does an awesome job. He is here legally. He's Venezuelan, and he'd like to become a U.S. citizen. He's going through the whole process properly. Great guy, super smart, and he hates communists because he grew up under... And then when we get into the whole story, because his family still lives there and they can recriminate against him, but his family has, he's told me I can tell this much, his family has a private school, a small private school. And the Chavez people come in and they say, and I looked it up and it was actually true, there's news reports, and they say, you're going to give the kids government assistance food in the morning, and the government delivers milk every morning, and you're going to have the small children close their eyes and then pray to Hugo Chavez, and then when they open their eyes, the carton of milk is in front of them. And I mean, that's communist-run schools. And he says the Chavez people only hire their buddies, they beat up whoever they want, they run the media, it's hellish. And he hates Hugo Chavez. Now, and he doesn't even want me to say his first name, because his family still lives down there, and they will kill you. They will. The government will kill you if you criticize them. Now, is that freedom? And he's not a conservative. He's not a liberal. He is somebody who wants freedom. Okay? So I wouldn't care if he had blue skin. He's a great guy, smart guy, charming guy, gets the job done, great guy. I'd say what over a third of my employees are Hispanic. But then our media says that they've got to adopt the Mexican culture for all of the dozens of Hispanic cultures. They've got to adopt that. Narco-terrorists, corrupt, disarmed population, enslaved by the Aztecs and enslaved by the Spanish, then enslaved by the French and enslaved by the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, never having any freedom, totally shoved around and controlled. And we're taught in school. I was taught. I was doing good in my art class here in Austin. Then I'm getting to the big news, folks. The big news is coming up. The huge news. And I was getting A-pluses in all this. And the teacher said, I want to choose you, you know, because I'm taking one person from each class to a special workshop at the University of Texas. Would you like to go, Alex? It's a field trip. And I said, sure. I mean, I was a senior. I had basically all my courses done. I said, sure, I'll go to UT. And I was brought into UT, the art center, and they had a Hispanic guy come in and say, whites are evil, America's evil, the Reconquista, we're taking America down. And it was all great rapture. And I started questioning him, and I said, well, Mexico has really serious abuse against other Latin Americans. Mexico, has never been free. And I said, and it was a big meeting with the teacher and him, and they were asking, how does he know this? It was very frightening that I'd read a few history books. But this is the indoctrination, because they don't want Hispanics assimilating and getting into guns and private property and freedom, because it fits perfectly with what they want. They already hate the fact that Hispanics on average are very family oriented. I've seen the statistics. Hispanics on average will run from the CPS. They'll fight back. So CPS doesn't hunt them as much like they do blacks and whites, who are subservient on average. So they really need to brand all Hispanic culture, not even the Mexican culture, but to the corrupt ruling class culture. These Tejano singers, these Mexican rap singers, it's all how cool the gangs are, how cool the murder is, just like what they sell the blacks to get them into that culture, and the whites. And they build it up, and they're heroes in Robert Rodriguez's film. And then this is what's offered as the culture. And so all Hispanics are told, you will adopt a La Reconquista. And that's what Robert Rodriguez imported to all Spanish-speaking countries in this hemisphere, was machetes and the word, the revolution has begun, in Spanish. And we showed that on air. And it was billed and sold in Spanish. It's time for the gringo to get it. Now we're taking them down. And of course, in all of Latin America, the machete, because they're disarmed as slaves, is the sign of peasant uprising. Don't rebel against the corrupt Latin American CIA-run governments. Rebel against the stupid gringo. Of course, they don't even say that. In the movie, gringos line up Hispanic women and shoot them in the stomach. Get the gringo. Get them. Get them. Get them. And I'm supposed to go, oh, what a wonderful psyop. Oh, now we can break off pieces of the southern states and then be Mexican enclaves. Exactly what the globalists want, because they just want us all poor, fighting with each other, and then being enslaved to them financially, being controlled. And then the white people and Hispanic, black, middle class, folks that are scared with the riots and the control that's coming, will beg for the police state and the system to protect them, and the globalists will come in and then rout the Mexican uprising. Now, I told you there'd be moves to break off parts of southern states, southwestern states. Now in the news today, you have been warned. And, you know, it's really genius, because we're all tribal at a base level. We all tend to be racially, conscious, just because the studies show black people on average end up preferring black folks because it's what their mommy and their daddy look like. It's what they're used to. White people, Hispanics. I mean, if I see a Hispanic guy with a Hispanic woman, I don't go, you're a racist. You're with a Hispanic. I mean, that's on average, that's what people are attracted to. You know, it is pure mind control that's going on. So they don't want people assimilating, getting along. They want to break this country up. And I can't even watch UFC fights, because every fighter who's Latino from the U.S. has to dance around with a Mexican flag and, you know, make comments against the U.S. and have La Reconquista tattoos on them. And, you turn on Comedy Central and the Hispanic comedians are bad-mouthing white people. I mean, I'm tired of it. See, I want you to have a Second Amendment. I want you to have private property rights. I want you to have dignity and not be a slave. And what the big corporations have programmed Hispanics to do, they're trying to program them all, is to be part of this and to associate their racial identity with anti-white and anti-gun and anti-freedom. And I'm just not going to put up with it, okay? And this is a strategic program to break up this country. Now, coming up in 45 minutes, Glenn Spencer joins us, who predicted all of this. We're going to be talking to him about it. If you just joined us, they're moving to break Arizona in two, and I've looked at what the groups are calling for. It's basically a pro-open border. That's what they say they're doing it for. Enclave, and also a taxing base to create a new Mexican-driven racial enclave. The whites are invited to stay now as part of the plan of San Diego if they submit and serve the greater La Infusora. And that's the plan. I mean, folks, the average white person is an arrested development, over the hill. That's not a bad thing. It's just a fact, aging population who wants to watch football and is so guilt stricken, they bow down and worship anybody that even has a suntan. Okay, you know, in fact, I didn't even this morning want to get on air and say I love Hispanic people. I a lot of folks that work with me are. I don't even need to prove myself. I don't care. Okay, you know, all your liberal fundraisers. Where are the Hispanic groups about the push to get Hispanics to abort their babies? See, no. You ignore all that. See, I want you to have your babies. I like life. But see, you want to kill your babies. But that's okay because it's liberal. Murdering the little brown babies is good and liberal. See how this all works. So I've had enough. I've had enough of it. And if you want to play along with this whole plan, fine. The issue is I'm not running. And I'm aware of what's going on. And I'm gonna try to mobilize as many people as I can. They will not teach in Texas schools that over a third of the people that were involved in setting up Texas were Hispanic. They will not talk about the father of the Texas Constitution, who wrote the Constitution, being Hispanic. They will not tell anybody the truth. That's why they put out these movies and demonize the Alamo. I mean, how do you demonize guys fighting, you know, outnumbered 10 to 1? Well, see, they hate that too. And the truth is, Mexico has a hellish history. But so does every other country out there. America isn't perfect. The point is, we don't want to emulate this and use this as our template and have the culture and the comedians and the rappers and the Tejano people force feed this down your children's throat to the point of, in Texas and California and Arizona and Nevada, there have been multiple news articles per state where the school teachers tell, in many of the cases, Hispanic kids, you do not wear an American flag Old Navy shirt. And they're like, well, this is just a shirt my mom bought me. That's offensive. And in the schools where the illegal aliens are the majority, the American flag is not allowed. They take it down off the post offices everywhere. And you've seen it on video. And these are kids so hateful of the American flag and what it symbolizes, brought up and taught this in the public schools, not in Mexico, that's happening too, but here in the U.S., that they can't even see an American flag. I have had one time at a steakhouse, a Hispanic waiter asked me what my American flag shirt meant. I had another guy ask me what my 1776 meant. I've had people freak out when I'm wearing the Minuteman, from 1776 Culpeper snake. And I hear the lady talking in English. I go up to the counter to buy coffee and gas, and she starts speaking in Spanish and saying infusora stuff. So scared that she's seeing that snake, which is just one of the flags, just the Marine Corps flag, one of their flags. Has nothing to do with, but she's been taught that flag means shooting pregnant Hispanic women in the stomach. Folks, it's not people wearing Minuteman shirts that are shooting Hispanic women in the stomach. Okay? It's not real. It's not happening. It's not going on. It's your own corrupt, murderous government that's doing that. Again. And the globalists have master planned how to control this country, how to take it down. Now, I've already spent 48 minutes on this, and I haven't even gotten to the other news, and I'm completely blown away by the magnitude of it. I knew it was all coming, but to see it actually rolled out signifies they're getting ready for the stage terror. See, I just tell it like it is. People say, are you liberal or are you conservative? Are you libertarian? What are you? I'm somebody who studies history, studies geopolitical movements, studies sociology, psychology, anthropology, and lives it, and who understands full spectrum dominance and what the globalists are doing. And to see it happening, they're already getting ready to cut the public pension funds. Social Security's had its COLA frozen with the huge inflation that's happening. They're going after public pension funds all over the country. Which you could cut all the banker bailouts and corporate welfare, and people could keep their pensions they've paid into. But they've now sold that is an entitlement you're not entitled to. See how the left is getting robbed by Obama, but they love it. But this is coming here next. Irish bombshell. It's not a bombshell. Government raids private pensions to pay for spending. It's going to happen here. This is done the same in Mexico, in Greece, in Ireland, in Portugal, in Spain, in England. It's always the same banks do it. It's the same crew. And in Ireland, they play Protestant off against Catholic. They just play groups off against each other while the military sits on top of you. Now, folks better figure this out real fast. So I got that. And this isn't even the bombshell news. U.S. trade gap widens more than expected in March. CNBC, it's all by plan. I will be shorting U.S. bonds. Jim Rogers, more and more bets. Tyco and others against the U.S. dollar. Why the Chinese should fear hyperinflation? They've already got it. CNBC. U.S. underwater homeowners increased by 28%. Bloomberg, just in the last month. Forbes predicts U.S. gold standard within 5 years. They're going to kill the dollar, folks. Illinois lawmaker says raising obese kids should cost taxpayers at tax time. Now, that's not even the big bombshell. Cybersecurity bill they couldn't pass the last 4 years has been rolled into the Defense Authorization Act for next year, trying to pass it this month. That dovetails with Google wants to control your home. CNN, how long did I tell you that? And federal spy chips to hijack your phone. Oh, yeah. We're going to break down the master control grid when we get back. Stay with us. All right, I want you to listen to me very carefully because this is the big enchilada. Listen to me very carefully. If you are hearing my voice, you are the resistance. You know about California 5 years ago trying to put in smart meters that control your thermostat in your house. First they said, don't worry, we can control it, but we won't. Now they're going ahead with it saying they are going to control your thermostat. Texas knew they would get resistance, so they didn't even debate it. They just came and put them in to everybody's houses. They put them in last year on the side of our building out here. Now they're announcing they're going to control it. I saw articles 2 years ago about old people on assistance in different cities being invited into these new communities where their refrigerator's tracked, their toilet's tracked. It's all hooked into wireless systems for their safety to monitor them, to make sure they're eating enough, to make sure they're doing well. It's like pre-nursing home. Google is in there, MIT, Defense Department. Everything is going to be tracked and controlled. Now, going back to the Telecommunications Act and similar acts since then, they have standardized washing machines, refrigerators. Everything's coming out. You've got to pay for it in the ticket price under regulations by the government. First, they set the precedent on light bulbs, toilets, things like that, where all devices have wireless chips. Now, you've heard iPhone 5's coming out, all the new cell phones coming out, not just Apple, will now have the RFID chip embedded. You cannot remove the battery from all the new phones that are coming out. This is all federal regulations, not law. They have tracker chips that GPS triangulate you. All phones, by law, 96, had to be in place October 1st, 2001. We told you months ago. First it was Apple, then Droid with Google, then AT&T phones, then Microsoft phones. It's all phones. They were ordered to do it, but they're happy to. So globally, it's global standardization from Japan to the U.S., every country with a unified system. We're already under global government. It's done via regulation and corporate agreements. The corporations have set up the world government. So, of course, they follow the orders. They don't buck it. To where all devices track you, all devices track what's in your refrigerator, what you're doing. All laptops watch you that have cameras. All phones watch you. They're now coming out with smartphones that have the camera behind the glass so that you can't cover it up if you're going to see your screen. They admit now OnStar's listening to you, tracking you. Now, if you're doubting me, here are just the headlines today, and I'm getting chills. Google wants to control your home. CNN headline, and it says Google is coming out with interfaces that wire into all new appliances. But wait a minute, why did the government a decade ago or more, depending on which regulation, put in policies where everything coming out was universally compatible for this? See, it's all been pre-planned. Everybody's now saying, oh, Obama just had the plan to have presidential alerts to your phone and break in and take it over, even if you don't want it to. That's the Telecommunications Act of 96. I covered all that in Police State 2000, 1999. How much have I yelled and screamed this year? There's nothing more frustrating than knowing we have a diabolical scientific dictatorship. Here's another example. It'll be 40 years next month in a global secret agreement. that all babies at birth have their blood taken and put in a global DNA database to develop race-specific bioweapons is one of the reasons, and a global DNA database so they can frame you. We've been under global government for a long time. They're just now mopping up the final holdouts. Iran, Libya, Indonesia. Doesn't even mean those countries are good. Most governments are corrupt. Pakistan. It's on. Now, we've actually got another guest coming up. I don't know how I'm going to cover all this. They are now announcing cameras to watch all children eating in America and CPS your children if the food isn't proper. That's out of the Associated Press. We're going to break it down.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. It is hour number two. If you just joined us, cyber warfare rules included in defense bill. The Cybersecurity Act they've now added to the defense bill they've tried to pass for, I don't know, 4 years or so or more, says all infrastructure, government Pentagon hubs, the Pentagon will openly attack alternative media websites in the U.S., all radio, TV, all cell phones, all devices, the wireless networks, the smart meters, all government Pentagon run, with the Pentagon domestically, the four branches of the military running things. We're going to be breaking all of that down and how it dovetails with Google wants to control your home, CNN, the big article by Paul Joseph Watson that is so key for everyone to understand the full spectrum of what's happening, federal spy ships to hijack your phone. The announcement that Americans are set to be bombarded with a mandatory government propaganda via their cell phones represents a shocking lurch forward in the Obama administration's bid to launch a total takeover of all communications as part of a wider move towards controlling the internet, developing an omnipresent wiretap system, and creating a constant environment of suspicion and distrust, enlisting citizens to spy on each other. So it's a dual kill switch where they can individually kill devices. And that's admitted today all over the news. Oh, it's a chip in the phone that can kill it, that can listen to you, that can cut your calls and force video or text up there. And they've already got the basic takeover chips in there, but now they're saying we want a total takeover chip. And it's going in next year, and of course they've already been manufactured, and they're ready, and it was all time for the Bin Laden rollout. Just like in 96, they passed the telecommunications that all phones will be tracked in real time and listened to you without warrants. They had to be in place with all manufacturers by October 1st, 2001, 1 month after 9/11, so that everybody would go along with it. It's all been scripted. There's a master plan. It's all been laid out. It's so childlike that I get emails saying, you mean Obama's continuing what Bush did? Yeah, the wars, the torture, the Guantanamo, the secret arrest, the lobbyists, the banker bailouts. It's bipartisan. Of course at that level they're doing what the ruling class and the elite and the corporations want. Of course Bush saved the fake Bin Laden capture and kill for Obama. I mean, those guys are all on the same team. Grow up and get it. The elite decide who they want as president. They get behind them. They give them the money. They promote them. They put a ringer in, like Bob Dole in 96, or another corpse, McCain in 2008, vice versa. They run the cousin of Bush, Skull and Bones, fraternity buddy, Kerry against him. Bush clearly steals the election, and Kerry doesn't contest it. Even though he had total proof, later folks went to prison for it. It's not that Kerry was good. It's not that McCain was good. It's that their time was up. It's a Don King fight. People are like, well, how does Don King rig a fight? He tells one of the guys, you're getting paid $500,000, and I'm going to give you future fights, and you go down in the fourth, at the end of the fourth. He's got big money on that. Do you understand? And the fighter knows when to go down at the end of the fourth. I mean, this is not rocket science, ladies and gentlemen. Hypothetically, that's just a joke. We all know Don King doesn't fix fights. And we all know that Private Lynch really, you know, that was all real. And Pat Tillman was killed fighting Al-Qaeda. And the Easter Bunny, you know, has 14-inch fangs and wants to drink your blood. I mean, it's all made up. Okay, vampires aren't real. Goblins aren't real. And this Bin Laden thing isn't real. Santa Claus isn't real. Bottom line. Now, I've been authorized now to talk about this. I knew about it yesterday. We Are Change Colorado contacted us and got us in touch with their lawyer. It turns out we've interviewed before, a great guy. And we're going to be talking to him straight ahead. The terrorist we heard about, the evil people that were videotaping in the Denver International Devil Airport, it was We Are Change. It was a big national scare. Oh, someone's videotaping them groping children. It's wrong. Don't show the TSA's crimes. Oh, arrest them. Oh. It's coming up.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
For just the next 5 minutes or so, Gary Fielder joins us. He's the constitutional lawyer out in Denver, Colorado, that has filed lawsuits and got involved with shutting down the naked body scanner at some of the different courthouses for people under 18, showing them the state law that it is child pornography. I've also had other district attorneys on from places like the county that San Francisco is in, saying that they will arrest TSA if they touch on the outside of the pants for a misdemeanor, inside the pants for felony. Now, all over the country, the TSA is groping one-year-old children, sticking their hands down their diaper. They sticking their hands down six-year-old girls' pants, and with a straight face saying, hey, we're doing this for your own good. Kind of like the Pentagon now admits they're going to break into your cell phone with terror announcements to terrorize you and force their way into your life. Kind of like they're now reporting in San Antonio, the Associated Press, that all children will be watched by smart AI computers, cameras to see what they eat and how much they don't eat. CNN reports Google wants to control your home. I'm going to be breaking this down after Gary leaves us, constitutional lawyer joining us. But I was told yesterday about this, but they weren't sure if they wanted to talk about it yet. And I thought, well, We Are Change Colorado. I know their lawyer in the past has been Gary. So I told Aaron, I said, get a hold of them again and ask who their lawyer is. And I think it's good for them to come out and talk about what happened. And so here he is today to break exactly what happened late last week. Here's the Denver Post. Four arrested in attempted DIA security breach. So now it's a security breach to videotape the people being groped. How dare you try to show, you know, the government's going to surveil us. They're going to listen to us over our phones without warrants. They're going to stick their hands down our pants. They're going to put face scanning and license plate reading cameras up everywhere. They're going to roast us in radiation machines. But when they arrested them, they knew full well who they were. But they held it out there all weekend. Who were the terrorists? Who tried to hit DIA? Man, it's getting bad. It reportedly caused a nationwide panic of fear. Was Al-Qaeda trying to hit the airport? And if a box blew out of a car in Dallas, they shut down highways and panicked. And in Chicago, Illinois, total fear. Take our rights. Break in on our radio and TV. Take over our cell phones. Telescreens everywhere. The terrorists are so dangerous. Because we got Bin Laden. Woohoo! Yeah! Now we're going to take all your rights and no ride list on trains and buses and checkpoints and federally funded blood draws at checkpoints. We're going to get in your business. We're going to break your will. We're going to teach normal law-abiding citizens that you're prisoners. This is your prisoner training. Your boot camp to learn how to lick government boots and pay those trillions to those offshore banks. Now, going to Gary. He was a lawyer for the four arrested in attempted DIA security breach. And that's the thing. You'll be videotaping even when they're groping somebody. They'll say, turn that off. But they're all videotaping you. They want to cover up the crime. Remember last year in October and November, we would report and listeners would confirm the hands down the pants. And they were still saying, we don't even grope you on the outside. It's not groping. It's security. It's professionalism. And then, oh, we do stick our hands down your pants and grab your genitals. And Ron Paul came on and talked about him doing it to him. Jesse Ventura came on. I've witnessed it happen to the governor. This is what's going on. So, see, they don't want you to have a public debate about this. They're training their armies, their cadres, to later roll it out. Kind of like for over a decade, they've been listening to your cell phone without warrants. Now they're announcing it. They've been with the smart meters, able to control your thermostat. Now they're announcing it. They've been watching your kids with AI smart cameras in every major public school that we've looked at for over a decade. Austin had face scanning and microphones up in 1998. I got the federal grant documents from K. Bailey Hutchinson on it. That's in my film Police State 2000. Now they announced it last month. Now they're announcing it to the slaves. Gary, good to have you on with us today, a great patriot standing up. You've got a history of beating these guys. What really happened with the evil We Are Change people trying to show the out-of-control 10th Amendment, out-of-their-jurisdiction, toilet-attendant-level goons who love to grow up small children? What happened?
Well, Alex, let me first say thank you for having me on your show. It's always a pleasure, although this isn't as pleasurable as it has been in the past because these four young people have been charged with criminal offenses, and that's really the travesty. There was one of the younger members, she's in her 20s, and of course she's attractive. She's a newer member to Colorado We Are Change. I had met her a couple of weeks ago at one of the functions, and she was actually flying to California for business. And although this wasn't an officially sanctioned event through Colorado We Are Change, or I would have gotten the email, but nonetheless, some of the members, the more seasoned, simply wanted to escort her to her flight. Now, of course, we've all been trained that you can't go beyond security without a boarding pass, and although Katie had a boarding pass, the other three gentlemen did not. So they were attempting to, to make their point that, hey, listen, we're here, we're just her friends, we want to make sure that she gets on this plane.
Yeah, that's the point. They didn't hide it. They showed up to show the good-looking woman who we know that the pedophiles and the pervs are going to target. That's their favorite. And we know they're going to attack. That's why they've got the job. They like to, grab women's breast. And so they were there to protect her. And this is the TSA striking back. You do not refuse the search or they'll try to charge you now. And you don't videotape the groping. You sit there and you take it. You take the Soviet re-education camp. You take the rape. You take it. You take the sexual assault. You take it and you like it and you don't show it or you go to jail.
Well, plus, we've all heard in the national media that even if you get through the security checkpoint, that doesn't mean that once you get into the concourse that they're not going to pick you out again. And there you are now by yourself. And maybe you're not in your mid-20s. Maybe you're in your mid-70s. Maybe you're in your mid-teens, But we can't have parents go beyond the checkpoint. We can't have relatives go beyond the checkpoint. We can't have friends go beyond the checkpoint. And so their purpose was to get past the checkpoint, submit ID, get on to the little train we have to the concourse, stay with her until she safely got on her plane, which I just don't think is that extraordinary. I think that that's pretty normal that we want to make sure that our friends and relatives are taken care of. And, they've been charged in the local municipal court with disturbing the peace, interference with police, trespass. But, nonetheless, they're criminal charges. I appeared with one of the young men this morning in court after he had spent 35 hours in jail over his trespass, disturbing the peace ticket that they could have simply been issued. Now, they could have gotten summons to appear. But, they had to be arrested. Katie missed her flight. Thank goodness she made it up later and then was able to make her appointment. But in the end, I think what started out as being a genuine concern for a friend just turned into a mountain of problems. And that's their whole MO, is to make it so uncomfortable to stand up for your rights that if you do, you may just wind up on the evening news and Channel 7 here locally posted a picture of Osama bin Laden next to their four mugshots.
Really?
That's what the local news, they showed the four mugshots, and then the next picture up on the screen was Osama bin Laden. So these young men and women for We Are Change who are protecting our rights, protecting the Constitution, doing the dirty work for all us lazy people, are compared with Osama bin Laden.
Well, by the way, I've been harassed once I've gone through the gate, and I've also seen them harassing their favorites, old ladies in wheelchairs or old men for some reason, swiping them, harassing them at the gate. I've seen foreigners in weird uniforms called Wolverine Security in San Francisco years ago gibbering and jabbering at people and poking at them. And absolutely, I mean, I remember the good old days of going and meeting, you know, girlfriends and people at the gate. You don't do that in America anymore. And now they're expanding it to the bus terminals, the train stations. They're now announcing what they've already been beta testing, the full rollout of hands down the pants. It happened in Miami a few months ago, where now you take somebody to the Greyhound station and they run in and stick their hands down your pants. So they're turning everything basically into a prison.
And I don't think that we can deny that they're singling out, particular individuals, which don't necessarily look like terrorists, but more commonly look like attractive young women. So I think that was a part of it. And I think that there's been national coverage on this, mainstream coverage. I just saw a video a couple of days ago of a baby being felt all over. And someone was videotaping that. So if we're not active in at least trying some confrontation, and I must say, Alex, although I'm on a public airway, there was an element of civil disobedience here. I mean, I understand that. But on the other hand, no laws were broken.
Well, so here's who's breaking the law. The federal government is violating the Bill of Rights, Constitution, wholesale. They're surveilling everybody. They're helping get Mutalib on the airplane. U.S. government admits they did. State Department admits it under orders. I mean, they're running the terror attacks. I mean, let's get down to the bottom line here. The government are the terrorists. They're the narcotics traffickers. They're the ones that are staging all this to turn us into a prison state so they can steal everything and then use the police state to suppress us. So it's very simple. They're terrorists. End of story.
Well, you know, these matters hopefully can be resolved short of trial, but I don't see, you know, my clients pleading guilty anytime soon. So ultimately, although, for example, I'm in the middle of picking a jury right now, and I must thank the judge for allowing me to have a 25-minute break to be able to talk to you. But in the end, I just hope that if this matter goes that far, and I can't imagine that it's going to, but it just might, that the jurors hopefully understand that their job is now to stand up for these, you know, young men and women who, at that time, and throughout their careers have stood up for their rights at the same
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Gary, we've all got to get behind Colorado We Are Change and you. Fire out your website for us.
I normally have a website that I just keep semi-updated called gigisup.net. I've got some videos up there. I'll have an update for you in about a month with regard to a
All right.
New direction.
We'll talk to you again soon, Gary. Thank you. I want to get into the government hijacking your phones publicly. All right, here's just some of the headlines. Google wants to control your home, CNN, and they describe how everything in your house will track you. They will remote control it. They will watch you. It was Google 6 years ago admitted they're watching you over your laptop computer camera, and you tell people this, they laugh at you, even as public schools get caught nationwide watching kids at home. I mean, it's just people are in a trance, folks. Why is this show so successful? Because I'm fundamentally angry and awake and threatened by these people, and I'm hopping mad. I was so angry this morning, I was able to run like twice as far as I'm normally able to. And I'm going to start just using my anger again. The government are terrorists. They've been caught staging terror over and over again. They're a bunch of criminals. We've got crooks that have hijacked the nation run by foreign banks. I told you, I'm getting so many emails, calls, media freaking out going, how did you know they were going to take over the cell phones? How did you know they were going to be breaking in on radio and TV, not during nuclear war, but with regular announcements and fear? How did you know they'd have public video screens going up saying, be scared? Because it's all been blueprinted. The government standardized all this in the last 16 years. I read the UN reports. I read the Internet 2 reports. I read what DARPA puts out. Folks, I remember 10 years ago, DARPA was in the Baltimore Sun and said, we've put up towers to test soothing people during riots. And it was just a nice little article, like they were reporting on the painting of fire hydrants or the price of tea in China. Just real innocuous, the price of pork bellies. Oh, by the way, the government's testing towers in cities with magnetic frequencies that calm you. I mean, that's what I mean. It's already going on. I just can't believe how evil. They're so bold, though, and people can't admit how bad it is. They're poisoning our water on record. They're caught everywhere injecting people in third world nations where they can get away with it with live bioweapons. They're murdering Nazis. Nazi isn't even what they are. The Nazis were a spinoff of these guys. And they said, you're doing it too quick and too obvious. Bam! You got to learn to pose as a liberal. Like Margaret Sanger said, we got to pose as liberals to kill these weeds. Well, I got newsflash for you. I'm not going along with it. Man, I can't even handle it anymore. Listen to these articles. Google wants to control your home. FEMA to confiscate food from local farms. From the U.S. government, Obama administration fights to allow warrantless GPS tracking. They got to do that because the phones are already doing it. AP, in Texas schools, a picture is worth 1,000 calories. A $2 million project starting in San Antonio, Texas, with smart cameras scanning the children as they eat. It can even tell if a pear is half eaten. Of course, the health department and CPS are involved. And here it is. Illinois lawmaker says raising obese kids should cost parents a tax time. There's your kid tax, your one-child tax. It's just the kids are growing up in like science fiction nightmares, coast to coast. They're watching them in the PE showers. It's like, yes, we have cameras in the showers. That's been out for 15 years. No one cares. Cameras in restrooms. They are training the kids to spy on their parents. They have them on computers under federal grants, write dossiers about their parents all over the country. That's in Police State to the Takeover, released in 2000. The actual documents, the towns, where they get federal grants, they do it on computer, they write about home life, it's given to the government. I mean, this has been going on behind the scenes, and now they're getting ready to really launch it. Continuing, big article, federal spy chips to hijack your phone. He links to CBS, he links to the New York Times, he links to London Telegraph, all positively going, yes, the government, you can't turn it off. It'll turn your phone on. If you're on a phone call or doing something, some work, the government's going to break in with announcements. It's the same thing with radio and TV. It will not be the EAS alerts once a week. It will be whenever they want. The local threat fusion center is going to love it. You build the radio station, the TV station, the local mayor and police chief and fire chief break in, taking over all the channels, forcing themselves in front of you, forcing themselves in your life. Federal regulations, all new clock radios have a shortwave transmitter in it, receiver, that picks up, so it's going to turn on and blare propaganda at you. The television sets, they're talking about making it the law to make you have these in your house. Total hell, total evil, upwards of 100,000 preachers secretly hired, now public, to spy on their flocks, tell them submit to forced inoculation and going to FEMA camps and to turn their guns in. Military all being trained in their Sears training, how to torture now. That was declassified last week. Armies of evil, armies of darkness, giant Halliburton, DynCorp child kidnapping ring, Chicago Tribune, AP, no one stops them. Pure evil, genetic warfare, live viruses being injected into the kids, just absolute bedlam, total control, total evil everywhere, total rollout, smart meters tracking you in your house, data transmission over power lines, listening to in your home, through the light sockets, total control, total evil, chemtrailing, aluminum, brain damage, brain disorders, death.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
So, it's announced a long-term strategic program for all digital devices, all cell phones, all AM and FM radio, UHF, VHF TV, cable, everything to be wired with Homeland Security starting next month. It's already in place with takeover chips to break in, commandeer your phone. You have no choice. And then to beam government propaganda messages to you. You see, it isn't an internet kill switch. It's an internet takeover switch, a media takeover switch. And you have these mega corporations, the Fortune 100, on record advising government from Clinton, Bush, Obama, right through to today, in every case, lobbying to have these control grids put in the name of security, while meanwhile pushing to never build any of the border fence, to never put in the smart fence, to stall. Now, Bush started it. Obama completed it a month ago, shining the North American security perimeter. There won't be security on the Canadian or Mexico border. There will only be security from Alaska down to the southern Mexico's border with Guatemala. And the Ottawa Citizen reported deals have now been signed. We'll even put that on screen. Folks won't believe that. To use Mexican and Canadian troops inside the United States and vice versa to, quote, fight civil insurrection. Now, when you study these globalists in Serbia, in Libya right now, wherever they go, in Africa, in Latin America, in Asia, they always go in and create new super zones to supersede the original sovereignty of the original state. But then within those states, along ethnic and religious lines, racial lines, they send in the anthropologists that understand how to balkanize. The British wrote manuals on this 300 years ago. Julius Caesar wrote the Battle for Gaul over 2,000 years ago and broke down how they did this with groups who weren't racially different but were tribally different, you know, had grudges. And so for 60 years, the Ford Foundation has publicly paid for textbooks, just like they were caught paying for textbooks going back 50 years ago in the Muslim countries, saying jihad, destroy America. That came out in the Washington Post 9 years ago, to radicalize the Muslims so we don't get along. So there's then a pretext to go invade those countries. Same thing here. They go into Mexico. We've covered the textbooks. We've shown them here on air saying the Southwest belongs to Mexico. Racial Aslan, our former mayor, Gus Garcia, there's video, declared it race day for Hispanics and said they are the supreme race. I'm a guy that cut my teeth protesting the Klan. I don't like the Klan. I don't like Mecha. La Raza means the race. But the thing is, the Klan, maybe 100,000 people that literally can't get up off the couch drinking whiskey from what I've researched and looked at, led by some feds and things. They've been caught doing that, Hal Turner and others, leading some of the white supremacist groups. It constantly comes out. Well, it's the same thing here, but you got the Ford Foundation funding this and teaching it. And I was on Mancow's show today, and he had a Mexican model on, and she was talking about Viva Mexico. I wrapped myself in the Mexican flag, and I said, hey, you, if Mexico's so great, a failed narco-terrorist state, why do you want to make it like that here? And then callers were calling in going, yeah, we are taking over America. Now, the media is trying to brand it that if you're Puerto Rican, Brazilian, Venezuelan, you're supposed to take on Mexican culture, which isn't even the official culture at all. This La Reconquista idea, this liberation theology financed by the big tax-free foundations, Carnegie, you name it. We're going to Glenn Spencer here in just a moment. But I want to set the table with this. Now, the plan is just to get us at each other's throats. I wouldn't even really be against immigration at the record levels if they were taught the Second Amendment, liberty, freedom, property rights, anti-globalist, pro-America. And then if they weren't given welfare, which then bankrupts the country. But that's not what's happening. Over 90% of these illegals, when they become citizens or vote illegally, vote to take the guns for socialism. Because the liberal groups that sell them the racial ideology that's so attractive to any, you know, human, it's ingrained into everybody, they piggyback the socialism, the gun control, the slavery. And so that's why there's a ticking time bomb. We've almost lost. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, it's almost over. And we'll fall like Mexico, a tiny elite. It's exactly what J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs want. On record, they're the biggest financiers of this. They want you poor. So there won't be any Aslan. I mean, there'll be folks running around saying it is. It'll be New World Order on. But Glenn Spencer, I remember in Conquest of Aslan, his other films, 10, 11, 12, 13 years ago, I remember Glenn Spencer, who worked with Native American groups, helping them, who was a humanitarian guy in Mexico, seeing this La Raza, La Infusora movement. And I remember seeing Glenn, and you can look at his films online or get them on DVD from him, where he laid out on this show, in the DVDs, on his websites, AmericanPatrol.com, and other sites they have, that this was going to happen. Now, the Democrats, and it's racially motivated, I've had some of these state reps on and Congress people from Arizona, and they'll say, yeah, it's part of La Raza, it's part of the race, yeah, we're taking over. Based in Tucson, they have a city council that admits that, it's racially based. You know, they pull down American flags at the post office. Kids can't wear American flags at school. For 87 miles into Arizona, they have signs up saying, don't go into these areas if you're an American. This is basically now Mexico. Even Hispanic kids not allowed to wear American flags. Same thing in San Francisco. I mean, it's a war. And they've been taught, no matter how horrible Mexico is and all the mass graves and the coyotes killing people, it doesn't matter. Rodriguez makes movies about where the ranchers are killing Hispanic pregnant women instead of the truth of the coyotes doing it. I mean, it's incredible. And now I wanted to get Glenn Spencer on because Glenn was right all along. Liberals in southern Arizona seek to form new state. Reuters, New Yorker Magazine. Arizona liberals are trying to form their own tiny liberal state on the border, like the Russian-held Abkhazia or South Ossetia as an area to project power into Georgia. 51st state, some in Arizona want to split. Now, when conservatives just want state rights back in to just have states not completely run by the feds, it's called treason, it's sedition, secession, evil. But when they are seriously going to the legislature trying to get the signatures, and they won't get it this time, but it shows what they want, it shows where they're going, and then if you don't give them their ethnic homeland, imagine if white folks tried this, if you don't create these ethnic homelands, well, then you're a racist, and I'll guarantee you down the road are the big race riots, all of it planned, and large areas of the U.S. being broken off into this new multinational system. Now, he predicted it all. That's a five-minute intro. Glenn Spencer, you've got the floor. You predicted all this with precision. It's now begun. Break down exactly what's happening with the conquest of Aslan, not run out of Mexico City, but run out of New York City.
Well, yes. Tucson, Pima County, part of the Aslan movement, Isabel Garcia, who is on the payroll of Pima County as an attorney in the public defender's office, runs a group called Derechos Humanos, human rights. And she has huge banners. And if you go on to her website, Derechos Humanos, you will see a graphic of a man that appears to be peering over a barbed wire fence, as if it's the border. But I analyzed the graphic, and what appears to be a map of Mexico isn't a map of Mexico at all. It's a map of Mexico combined with the southwestern United States, what they call Aslan. So this high official in Pima County, an attorney who has been on the payroll for more than a decade and is one of the most outspoken leaders of the La Raza movement and was there when they took over the school board last week, cheering them on, works for the government of Mexico, is paid by the people of Pima County, and is advocating the takeover of the American Southwest by Mexico and reversing the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which was signed in 1848. Now, I don't think it took much for me to predict this kind of thing when these people are so out front of us.
And now we're hearing, oh, it's democratic, it's loving and liberal. Secession is good when it's a La Reconquista. It's cute, a 51st state. I mean, they're really moving ahead with this right now. Break down this latest development. Who's behind that?
Well, the latest development is what we call the Baja Arizona, right? This is the people of Pima County, exactly who was behind it. I have an idea. Is Isabel Garcia? She would be the leader of this movement. She has been for 4 years. 9 years ago, I wrote a letter to the administrator of Pima County, demanding that she be fired because of her subversive efforts. I have, if you go on AmericanPatrol.com and search for Isabel Garcia, you will see 9 years of documentation of us tracking this woman, okay, and everything that she does. So it is just like California when Mario Robledo, co-founder of MALDEF, by the way, which was financed by the Ford Foundation, we have him on tape on a radio station in California saying that California is going to be a Hispanic state and anyone who doesn't like it should leave, okay? Now, I have lots of stuff like that, and I had for years before I produced Conquest of Aslan. But what surprises people when they hear me say these things, well, how can you say that? Well, I can say it because they say it. And you're surprised because you've never heard it before, because the mainstream media won't repeat it.
And by the way, all over the country, the stations are called The Invasion, La Infasora, La Reconquista. Hundreds of billboards, as you know, went up in L.A. It said Los Angeles, California, crossed out Mexico. It's all very funny. Why would anyone want to make the Southwest Mexico where you can't have private property unless you're an insider? You can't own guns. The police pull you over and demand money. I mean, it's just horribly corrupt. It's an absolute hellhole. And we have the major corporations, our media, pushing this and trying to make all Hispanics, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans that want to be, you know, free, Brazilians, Venezuelans, they're told, you better get with the program. I mean, this is so crazy.
Well, you know, this may sound strange to a lot of people, but Mexicans are very nationalistic. They love their country, and they're very nationalistic. And do you know one of the reasons they are? You know that they've never had immigration. And you say, Glenn, what would you mean by that? Well, they're very insular because they've never learned to try to get along with everyone.
Oh, they don't let anybody in. And,
no.
And I mean, that's the big, you got money. It's been very hard until recently. For those that don't know, it's even admitted in the New York Times, Mexico puts you in a forced labor camp for 1 year if you're caught.
But they've taken polls, you know, in Mexico, and asked them, well, "What is it illegal to cross the border?" No, they stole that lemon from us, and more than half of Mexicans, they look upon us as an enemy. But a large percentage believes that the Southwest was stolen from them, and they have every right to take it back. And that's what they're taught in their schools, and that's what they're now being taught in our schools. And that was the incredible thing about this. The state of Arizona passed a law that said you can no longer make mandatory courses in La Raza. They have to be electives in our high schools. Well, they had to.
Sir, when I was in high school 20 years ago, it was teachers with relish, by the way, white teachers, telling me how bad America was and how great it was going to be when Mexico took over America. America's committing suicide.
And, no question.
And it is a blessed sacrament of Americans, white, black, Hispanic, to destroy ourselves, to be robbed by foreign banks, to be the idiots of the world, to have to finance all these illegal wars. And, I mean, if you go to Mexico now, I mean, the State Department says it's one of the most dangerous countries on earth. It is a hellish pit. They finally had to admit what you've documented for decades. Americans are targeted, especially whites. But the racial murder of whites is a sacrament. Whites deserve to die. And whites want to die. Many white liberals believe it's good. And, I mean, these are very sick, self-destructive people. And America probably will fall. It won't fall to Mexico. It'll just fall into the lawless anarchy and squalor and sewage running down the streets and chickens running around everywhere. And that's what America wants. It's what we're going to get, Glenn.
Well, California is about to collapse. California is the illegal immigration state. It is about to collapse. Arizona is fighting back. You know, it passed SB 1070. And it also recently passed a law that allows the state to build its own fence on the border. And by the way,
and I'll guarantee you, if you put it on the tax forms, the state tax forms, if people want to give more money for only that program, people will put money on it.
Well, you can go online and donate to the fence.
Absolutely.
You can go on. It's called keepazsafe.com. It is an official State of Arizona website, which I have donated to.
Well, you know, here's what's so sick, Glenn. I could care less what color you are. I could care less. But I shouldn't even have to sit here and say that. I'm not the one with groups called Raza. I'm not the one with school books saying the Southwest belongs to Mexico and there was hardly anybody in the Southwest, desert wasteland, a few missions. Mexico kept starting wars with the United States and losing them. Sorry, their military was so corrupt that that their soldiers would fight, but their generals would cut and run. And I mean, who would want? I mean, they're running up here. America isn't perfect, but they're running up here because there's some private property, some Second Amendment, some dignity. You know, our cops are the feds are trying to corrupt them, but the average cop in America, you know, it's very rare to have cops just pull you over and demand money.
Well, I mean, you know, you're absolutely right. I'm on the Mexican border right now. I'm looking into Mexico. I fly the border. American Border Patrol surveys the border. We're called America's Eyes on the Border. And I support KeepAZSafe.com because the state of Arizona is going to do some work. Now, let me tell you something, and you haven't heard this before, but we've been working on technology on the border for 9 years. We were the first to use UAVs and so forth. Last year, we stumbled upon and discovered a way to secure the border, to count, to detect everybody who crosses the border and count them at a fraction of the cost of what the Boeing has been doing. And the state of Arizona has seen a demonstration of this, and we hope that maybe if they are able to come up with the funding at the state level, we hope to convince them to test this out. Now, I have put a half mile of what I call the sonic barrier on our ranch right here along the border. You cannot get past it. You can't tiptoe past it. It'll detect ultralights. It'll detect tunnels. It does the whole thing.
All right, stay there, stay there. But the fact that Arizona, with black, white, Hispanic, Asian Americans are standing up to the crime wave, the tyranny, the murder, the death, the bedlam, that's now drawing out the La Reconquistas and the Ford Foundation to try this secession movement. Next, they're going to start getting violent, which will really show who they are.
Ira Hayes, Ira Hayes, call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore, not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war.
Look, it's very simple. The Fortune 500 generally, but definitely the Fortune 100, financed, created this whole liberation theology. There was a little bit of this going on in Mexico before, because Mexico has been nationalistic. That's not a negative overall. And it's been hyped, but it's force-fed here in the U.S. It's extremely aggressive, and it's coming to a head to the point that these groups are now trying to break off part of the U.S. to basically be a little enclave of Mexico. And you try to talk to these people, and they are just openly, you're evil because you're white. And I'm like, well, why don't we just be friends? They're like, no. And I've been to some of these events here in Austin. You know, they have their big parades and things. And the fact is, most Hispanics I know aren't into this, but the people leading, you know, the big official Mexican day parades and things, it is a race meeting. And you go out there, and it's wrong. And the point is, the mega corporations, Glenn, want everybody fighting with each other. From your decades of research, why are the big corporations trying to get everybody fighting with each other? Why are they promoting these different movements?
What's movement? They don't want the nation state, you know, because it gets in the way of their growth. But, you know, 15 years ago, Alex, I told a meeting in Los Angeles, you won't know you're being invaded until you try to stop it. The reason that we're seeing this reaction in Arizona is because the state of Arizona is standing up and passing laws to defend itself. The reason you don't see this kind of thing in California is that their politicians are capitulating. They are surrendering. every day, right and left. So you don't see this backlash because they are taking over California, and they're in the process of completing that takeover. The reason you're seeing this in Arizona is that the state of Arizona is resisting. That's the only
and now as California openly collapses with a 33% unemployment rate, we are going to have to bail them out via the federal government. And the federal government openly wants this because they're run by globalist traitors.
But the House of Representatives, run by Republicans, is not going to allow it. And that is a major struggle that you should watch, everybody should watch, because California is bankrupt. Bankrupt.
All right, let me ask you this then. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. You've had an incredible crystal ball, Glenn. Give us the lay of the battlefield right now and what you're predicting is going to happen next.
Well, the battlefield is right now in Arizona because Arizona is resisting. And as the, by the way, I'm always impressed when I go on your show. The hits on our site just quadruple. So we've got a lot of people looking at AmericanPatrol.com right now. And you'll notice at the top, it says, Arizona, help Arizona build the border fence. The state of Arizona and the governor signed a law to allow them to take private donations to defend themselves against this invasion. And they can build a fence and they can do other things. And so I'm encouraged. They've already raised $1.5 billion, $34,000.
No, this is showing the power. This is showing the power of the people. But look, Mexico is a failed narco-terrorist state.
Right.
Mexico has a complete border with Guatemala and puts people in forced labor for a year. How can Mexico have some of the most draconian immigration laws in the world, but then lecture us when we have the most wide-open system in the world?
Reverse that, they want to move their people north. It's all in my video. They tell you they are expanding their territory by migration. Do you want the direct quote of
yeah, stay goal? There. Stay there. We'll do 5 more minutes with you, and then we got Vincent Bugliosi joining us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, final little 5-minute segment with Glenn Spencer, who for decades has been chronicling what's happening. Speaking with Glenn Spencer, we now have the move to break off part of southern Arizona and make it a pro-open border enclave of Mexico. And we have basically Mexican government minions in there in the Tucson government pushing this. The system is panicking. The mega corporations want open borders. Mexico wants to export its revolution into the U.S. as a steam valve instead of their people ever getting freedom over the incredibly corrupt oligarchy they've got. Glenn Spencer, what is the official policy of the Mexican government?
All right, here is the Mexican president. This is about 11 seconds. Speaking to the National Council of La Raza in 1997. This is Zedillo. Now listen to this.
I have proudly affirmed that the Mexican nation extends beyond the territory enclosed by its borders, and that Mexican migrants are an important, a very important part of it.
Okay, I have proudly affirmed that the Mexican nation extends beyond the territory enclosed by its borders, and that Mexican migrants are an important, a very important part of it. So they're extending their borders by migration, okay? It's called demographic warfare. It's to putting the Southwest under their jurisdiction. I said this 11 years ago. They are at it. They are, and because there was resistance in Arizona, they're fighting back. They're getting the support of the Mexican government. Their agents are working here full time.
And our own government, it's now come out. We've had sheriffs on record say what we already knew, that the Border Patrol has been ordered not to arrest illegals except for very short PR stunts for the media. And this, I mean, is this not treason?
It is treason. I have been at this so many years. Everything they do on the border is designed to fail. everything. The National Guard they put down here, I have aerial photographs of every one of the National Guard outposts. They are a joke. I can go into detail with it. They are useless. The everything they do, the $1 billion that they spent on that virtual fence, the day it came out and they announced it, I predicted it would fail. I went online and I said, this is going to fail, and I said, why? Okay? That was 5 years ago. And it failed exactly for the reason that I said. Everything they do on the border is designed to fail. Our government wants that border left open.
And what's so sick is everybody would live in peace and we would get along if whites weren't told we're inherently evil and bad and deserve to be killed by the media, and that it's cute and fun to have all these mayors, including the former Austin mayor, saying that Hispanics are the God race. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't like the Klan. I don't like that either. But we don't have the Klan having public meetings and openly talking like this. And it's time for Hispanic Americans, white, black, doesn't matter what color you are, if you understand what's happening and where this road leads, to stand up and say no. Because the big mega banks that are so criminal, that are financing all of this on record, they're not pushing Aslan because they care about Hispanic people. They want to destroy the only escape route for people in Latin America to ever have a future of liberty. And I'll tell you, it's people's minds that I don't like. It's not the color of their skin. And you know, Glenn, you know it. These illegals, they vote to take guns and take property and vote for socialism. And let me tell you, this country's in a death struggle right now, aren't they?
They are a small army. They do exactly what they're told. I can give you case in point, year after year, that you have millions of people out there watching and listening to Hispanic, Spanish-language media.
And it tells them what to do. Glenn, we got to have you back again soon. Thank you.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, for the balance of the hour, I'm going to cover the waterfront with Vincent Bugliosi, the famous prosecutor who convicted Charlie Manson and the Manson family. And I want to talk a little bit about that with him, because I've had him on about other issues years ago, and I want to revisit his calls for George Bush to be brought up on charges. I want to get into his new book dealing with the existence or non-existence of God, because I agree with some things Mr. Bugliosi says and disagree with some of the others, but he's coming up in just a moment. Before we go any further, though, I wanted to direct all the InfoWars.com listeners, AM and FM listeners, PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, that we are not just putting all my films online at PrisonPlanet.tv or the expanded archive of these live shows in living color and the higher quality audio podcast, but we're doing special interviews in our new studio, one of our new studios, kind of the Charlie Rose look studio. We also have a green screen studio and another studio developing my new TV show. But we also are uploading expanded extras from films, so much at PrisonPlanet.tv, and it is your membership at PrisonPlanet.tv that finances so much of what we do. It's 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month. Check it out today, PrisonPlanet.tv. But there's a new hour-plus video we just posted with Stuart Rhodes and others, and the headline is The States Strike Back. The States Strike Back, Rise of the Republic, Rhodes, Bolden and Smith, and they go over the fact that the states' rights movement is accelerating, trying to balance the power with the out-of-control federal government. So just key interview with Stuart Rhodes and others now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Don't forget the online video bookstore at InfoWars.com. And then there's all our other great sponsors like NIA, National Inflation Association, during the financial crisis of late 2008, the only good or service in America that didn't at least temporarily decline in prices beside the cost of health care was a college tuition. We have a college tuition bubble here in America being fueled by government's willingness to provide student loans to anybody who applies for them regardless of their future ability to pay the loan back. Students are being brainwashed into getting $500,000 in debt for a college degree that's simply losing its value each year. Student loans are destroying the lives of millions of Americans who would have been better off getting jobs at Walmart. A brand new must-see documentary, College Conspiracy, is coming out very soon from our friends at NIA. If you would like to be among the first to see College Conspiracy, sign up for the free NIA newsletter immediately at inflation.us. That's www.inflation.us. Hard to forget that. And finally, and then we're going to Vincent Bugliosi, this special is only going to be running for a little while longer. A 10-day extreme emergency kit, a $300 value of after every $995 you invest in a long-term, super high-quality, gourmet, storable food from eFoodsDirect.com. They are the name, the biggest outfit, highest quality, no MSG, no GMO, none of that. Earthquake, tsunami, tornado, how about depression? Social unrest, forced evacuation, extreme situation could require to leave your home in minutes. You will get with your clothes on your back and become dependent on FEMA if you do not have a plan. Well, they've got the extreme pack, and just check it all out. You get free with a regular order. The extreme emergency kit, $300 value, 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633, or visit them on the web at eFoodsDirect.com. Now, shifting gears to our main interview today here in the third hour, Vincent Bugliosi has been called the quintessential prosecutor in his career at the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. He successfully prosecuted 105 out of 106 felony jury trials, including 21 murder convictions without a single loss. His most famous trial, the Charles Manson case, became the basic of his classic Helter Skelter, the biggest-selling true crime book in publishing history. His other books include And the Sea Will Tell, Outrage Reclaiming History, and the assassination of President John F. Kennedy and the prosecution of George Bush for murder. And he joins us to cover a host of issues today. Mr. Bugliosi, what would you like to begin with first, revisiting the Manson murders, your new book, George W. Bush, and your call to prosecute him for murder, and the fact that Obama's continuing many of those same crimes? What's your view of him now? Where do you want to start first?
Well, I thought it was going to be about the book, my new book, Divinity of Doubt. I normally do not go back unless there's some questions on all these other things, or else we end up after the hour with hardly touching on the main reason. I thought the main reason for the interview today, but by the way, Alex, before I go any further, I want to thank you so much for having me on your show in the first place. It's always an honor for me. You're the best in the business. But I was under the impression that the basic interview today, at least I was told that, was going to be on Divinity of Doubt.
Well, I'm sorry, Vincent. Your publicist, as I was there when it was on speakerphone, asked what it was about, and we said, yeah, we're going to cover the book and a host of other issues.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. In fact,
there was only one thing, which I didn't even plan to bring up to you, that she didn't want to get into, which begs the question and makes me want to get into it. So that's proving there, prosecutor, that I did have that conversation with the publicist.
Oh, yeah. No.
You want to cross-examine me?
No. But what they sent me is that this was just an interview on my book. Let me just touch on two things, and then hopefully we can get into the book.
Well, let's get into the book first, then. Or go ahead.
No, I want to get two things out of the way. The Reclaiming History, the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, I just want your readers to know, or your audience to know, that this is going to be a 8-hour miniseries for HBO that Tom Hanks and his people are doing based on the book on the 50th anniversary, which is 2013, 50th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, about the prosecution of George W. Bush for murder. Many people have felt that it's all over with now. They don't hear from me. I can tell you it's very, very much still alive. I'll be getting next week a report from a constitutional law professor back east who, with 12 members of his class, have put together a legal brief anticipating all legal arguments that if there is a prosecution that Bush and his people could come up with to have the case thrown out of court. I'll be getting that report next week. I have to be very careful, Alex, about my words, but I can tell you this, and I can tell your audience this, it's still very much alive, and I am making progress. I can't say anything more than that, but it's still very much alive. Another interesting point, a documentary based on the book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, will be coming out for the big screen in about 6 months. but I'm convinced beyond all reasonable doubt that Bush took the nation to war under false pretenses in Iraq. 4,500 American soldiers are in their cold graves right now as I'm talking to you, Alex, and yet Bush, whenever you hear him, he says things like, I'm living life to the fullest, I'm happy, and I want to take that smile off his face. In addition to the 4,500 American soldiers, probably at least 100,000 innocent Iraqi men, women, children, and babies are in their graves right now. So I want your audience to know this is still very much alive.
And that's why I wanted to bring up some of those subjects, because you're involved in so many important, interesting things. And, you know, you cover the White House memo, the Downing Street memo. It's on record.
Oh, yeah.
That they premeditatedly lied to take us to war. They weren't wrong about WMDs. What's your view of Obama? Because I supported your move to prosecute W, but Obama has continued the rendition, continued the torture, continued the black sites, continued Guantanamo, continued expanding things with faulty intelligence. I mean, are you disappointed with Obama?
Well, he turns out to be a guy whose heart is probably in the right place, but he has no courage, no courage whatsoever. But let's distinguish between taking a nation deliberately to war on a lie, under false pretenses, with doing things that everyone knows about. I mean, Bush did not let the nation know that they were going to war on a lie. He did not let them know that. Everything that Obama's doing, as far as I know, it may be right or wrong, but there's no deception involved. I can say this about what happened recently with the killing of Osama. I'm disappointed in Obama as well as Bush for not going into Pakistan immediately after 9/11 or immediately after Osama escaped into Pakistan. By the way, what's his name? Osama was at Tora Bora. The CIA asked for 800 troops to go up the mountain into Tora Bora to get bin Laden. The Bush administration said no. So he had, but he had no hesitancy about sending 150,000 troops into Iraq to get Hussein, someone who had as much to do with 9/11 as you, I, or an aunt of mine who lives up in Minnesota. But yet he wouldn't send 800 troops up the mountain in Tora Bora to get Osama bin Laden, who's responsible for 3,000 American murders. And as you know, he escaped over the border into Pakistan. We didn't want to invade.
Well, sure, but I mean, expanding on that official narrative there, he needed that boogeyman to blame it on Iraq. He couldn't have bin Laden dead, at least admit that he was dead. And so that's why they didn't. I mean, my inside sources are bin Laden's been dead a long time. But Vincent, I know you're not going to agree with that.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if he was dead earlier or not. But anyway, Osama bin Laden, if he was just killed recently, he's been alive for close to 10 years. He's had three good meals a day, and they should have gone after him. If they were thinking, oh, Pakistan is a sovereign nation, we can't cross the border into Pakistan, yet they could cross the border into Iraq to go after a guy who had nothing to do with 9/11, you follow? So I'm happy that they got Osama, assuming that they got him. You're saying maybe they didn't.
Well, I mean, look, you're a prosecutor.
Pardon?
They've got the body. They don't give it to us. They have the face print, the photos. They won't give us that. They throw the body in the ocean. I mean, this whole thing really stinks to high heaven.
At a minimum, it was an extremely unwise move for Obama to dispose of the body so quickly into the ocean like that. I mean, common sense, which Voltaire tells us not common, would tell you don't do that.
But if he is the ultimate terror mastermind, and KSM is telling us under torture that there's buried nukes in Europe and the U.S. and AP's running with it, you better capture him, even if he's trying to kill you. But it turns out that was all lies. Didn't have a weapon, didn't shoot back. Now the Situation Room photo, turns out they weren't watching video. They lied about that. I mean, Vincent, we're getting a lot of lies here. When witnesses start telling us chains of lies, I mean, it's illegal to lie to federal prosecutors, but how can government lie so much?
Yeah, I know that. Well, it's intrinsic in human nature that people lie if they think they can get by with it, it's to their benefit. Now, I'm not on top of all the stuff that you're talking about. You are. I got enough on my plate with the current book, and of course, hopefully, I'll be able to prosecute Bush. It'll be a DA. It'll be, if it happens, it'll be a DA, not the federal government, not the state government, but a local DA.
Yeah.
And I'll be working, if it happens, around the clock, 7 days a week, probably living in a motel for a couple years, So that's on my plate right now. And I hate to give opinions on things.
I understand, but Vincent,
really,
well, then fine, fine.
Research, you know?
Let's say this, though. You are going up against Bush. If you start getting this prosecution going, and there's open talk about going after him for the torture, even in foreign government, but even in our own,
right.
I hope you don't end up like some of these other reporters that slit their wrist. Do you want to say on record that you're not suicidal?
you're great, Alex. No, I am not suicidal. But I'll tell you this. There's reasons for not doing it, personal reasons, but I don't think I could look at myself in the mirror if I walked away from this. Not with all these people in their graves right now decomposing it as I'm talking.
But you realize it is dangerous to go up against the Bush Mafia.
I'm aware of that, and I usually don't like to talk about this stuff publicly, but you're almost compelling me to do so. There are reasons for my not doing this. But the most important man in the world is the man in the mirror. If you're doing right by him, then you're treating other people well, too. And I don't see how I could walk away from this. I would just be saying to myself, you know, Vince, you're no different than anyone else. So I'm going to proceed on this thing if I'm given the opportunity. I want to be made very, very clear. I do not have a firm commitment at all, so I don't want any distortion in what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, I'm making progress. And I don't want this guy to get away with murder. I don't want to see anyone get away with murder.
Well, it took a long time to go after Pinochet, so these things...
Absolutely. There's no statute of limitations for murder. But Simpson got away with two murders. I got so angry that I wrote a book called Outrage, The 5 Reasons Why O.J. Simpson Got Away with Murder, shot up to #1 New York Times. If I could get that angry over two murders, you can imagine how I feel about George Bush. I have an animus against this guy.
Well, what about him writing a book last year bragging he ordered torture and would do it again, but their underlings that they flush down the toilet as scapegoats, how can the Mafia Don give an order, admit he gives the order, but then his street-level muscle goes to jail? I mean, Bush is publicly admitting to ordering crimes and ordering the White House memos. I mean, I don't see how he isn't in prison for that.
Yeah, but we're getting into an area that I'm not familiar. I'm very, very familiar with this taking the nation to war on a lie. When you get into the torture thing, you also have to realize, and Obama and Holder have both said this, that the Department of Justice, the lawyers over there, gave Bush permission to do certain things. Now, apparently some CIA lowly operatives went beyond that, you follow? But we're getting into an issue that I'm not up on.
All right, let's shift gears back then. I got a few loose ends, then we'll get into your new book.
Okay.
A few loose ends. I've had prosecutors on the county attorney in the county that San Francisco is based in.
DA, yeah.
District attorney, that if he sees, if his police see them touching on the outside of the pants, it's a misdemeanor. On the inside of the pants, felonies. I have witnessed them sticking their hands down people's pants, not just all the videos of six-year-old girls. 20-plus states are moving to make it felonies, but if it's already a felony for a cop to do it without emergency probable cause or for you to do it or for the Easter Bunny to do it, how do we even need laws? What's your view on the whole TSA sticking the hands down the pants?
Are you literally talking about someone sexually molesting someone, or are you using this as a metaphor? I don't quite know.
No, the TSA, sir, now sticks their hands down.
The TSA means what?
The airport security.
Oh, okay. They're doing what now?
They're sticking their hands down people's pants.
Is that right? I just traveled to New York for the...
No, they only randomly do it with small children and women. That's why they get the job.
Yeah.
They like
it. I don't know what their intent is. If you can show that their intent, I don't know how you do this, showing that it's sexual, obviously should be a felony. But I didn't even know about this.
But how can everyone be guilty until proven innocent? I mean, a police officer can't stick their hand on your pants unless they saw you stick the gun in there and there's imminent danger, according to DAs and people we've had on. We both had county and city.
It's just too hard for me to comment on that. The Today Show just called me about 4 or 5 days ago. Apparently, they have on film the Phoenix, either the police department or the sheriff's office, brutalizing some woman on film in Phoenix, and they wanted me on the show, and I don't go on just if I don't feel I'm qualified to do it. I said, listen, I don't know what's going on here. I'd have to study it in depth. So I referred them to internal affairs of some major cities, so I did not go on. I hate to be on the record saying things,
right,
and someone comes back and says, well, but Yossi, you don't know what you're talking about. Did you know that this was existed? I said, no, I didn't know about that.
No, I got it. You didn't see the six-year-old? You didn't see the six-year-old with the TSA sticking their hands down her pants?
No, listen. listen, I don't watch TV.
I understand you're a busy guy.
It's not just that. Yeah, I am busy. I don't even have a computer. I'm still in the 19th century with a yellow pad and pencil. So a lot of these things are going over my head, and I really have to focus in on something before I start.
All right, let's talk about something. Let's talk about something you focused in on, and then we'll do the remainder of the half hour just on the new book and break that down for folks. Vincent Bugliosi, probably one of the most famous prosecutors in world history, here joining us, not just in the modern era. Looking at this, something you do know about. You've written this giant treatise, this encyclopedia. That has been hailed by much of the establishment media as definitive proof that lone gunmen killed JFK in Dealey Plaza, right, 40-plus years ago. What do you say to things like E. Howard Hunt saying he was there running an operation? What do you say to the people that saw people behind the knoll and then all mysteriously died? I mean,
well, how can I get into that without taking a half hour here, Alex? I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, but to take one, there was no one behind the knoll there. No one saw anyone there. You follow? No one saw that. They did.
Not to live.
Wait a while. They did run behind the knoll, thinking there may be someone there. All the stuff about seeing people at the knoll, that all came about later, Alex. I worked on this thing for 20 years. But to raise an issue like this, I'm supposed to give you a 10-second answer to it? The E. Howard Hunt thing, while he was alive, he was on his deathbed, and his sons were trying to get this out of him, okay? And they never got out of him any statement by him. This was after my book came out, that, yeah, the CIA was involved. He never said that, but they were trying to get these words out of him. Their sister, the mother, they're very condemnatory of these two sons that started all.
Yeah, that's the Cuban side of the family down in
something.
Miami.
I can't get into this. I wrote... 1.5 million words,
uh-huh.
13 volumes, the equivalent of 13 volumes of 400-page books, over 10,000 citations.
Well, you're a smart guy, but a lobotomized chimpanzee could write 1 million words.
Well, yeah, but this is my magnum opus. People have said beyond a definitive book, it's the final word on the Kennedy assassination.
Uh-huh.
But to throw a couple things at me and expect me to talk to you off the top of my head in 10 seconds or 15 seconds.
Well, E. Howard Hunt said the big event was going to go on down in Miami, but then I was a bench warmer on the Dallas thing. And then he went through it as far as his chain of command up to LBJ. What do you make of Madeleine Duncan Brown? I interviewed her.
Madeleine Brown is an embarrassment. She came up with that story 20 years later. She had no evidence at all 20 years
later. There's one problem. I had family that was in Austin at the time.
She came up with that story 20 years later. She's an embarrassment. Not even the conspiracy community believes it. Only the fringes of the conspiracy community believe Madeleine Brown.
Yeah.
And to believe that LBJ, one of the most wily politicians we've ever had, would tell her the night before the assassination that Kennedy will never embarrass me again. You can't believe that. In fact, he wasn't even in Dallas that night. They were still in Houston. It's all bogus. But I didn't know that I was going to be answered. Listen, there's 1 million questions to ask about the Kennedy assassination. And I went into depth on every single one of them, Alex. Now you're pulling a couple off.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Do governments ever assassinate people?
Yeah, of course. The CIA was ordered to assassinate Cuba. Yeah, absolutely.
But what about the
Castro? They were
What about Gulf of Tonkin? I mean, the LBJ lied about that.
No, didn't lie about it. Read my book. Read the end notes in my book on the Bush thing. Did not lie about that. That's all nonsense. But now you want me to summarize 12 pages in my book?
But they declassified that they lied.
No, there was nothing.
I've got the audio tape. They released it.
Then the audio tape exonerates LBJ.
No, they're sitting there going, this is what you're going to say at the press conference. We'll be right back and talk about your new book. Stay there.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Yes.
Vincent Bugliosi, the world-famous prosecutor of the Manson cult, is our guest. Maybe at the end of the interview, I'll ask him a question or two about the Mansons, or getting back on about that in the future, because I wanted to have him on a host of issues. We got contacted by the publicist, and I'm like, wow, he's great to have on. Let's have him on. But the new book is Divinity of Doubt, The God Question. And you go to Vincent Bugliosi, you go to the mountain, he will tell you who really killed Kennedy. He will tell you if the war's elite. He will tell you if God exists. Actually, the book, I haven't read it yet, but it's been critically acclaimed. And I'm going to stop trying to be sarcastic here with him because I like him. He's a sharp guy. I agree with him on some things, disagree with him on others. But The Divinity of God, and that's the new book, Divinity of Doubt, The God Question. And why did you decide to write this book?
Well, Alex, as you know, I like challenges, big challenges, and there's probably no bigger challenge than taking on the God question. And let me say that I'm more excited about this book than any other book in my entire career, and that's not just because there's no bigger subject than God. But we're talking here, Alex, about a 2,000-year-old conversation in which everyone agrees nothing significant has been brought to the table in a great number of years. And believe it or not, this book does that. Can I have a couple moments, Alex, just to go over some of the highlights of the book?
I'm about to learn the mysteries of the universe from the great Bugliosi.
I told you off the air, in addition to being great, you're the best. You're also a funny guy. You're very funny. You're getting me to laugh. I usually don't laugh that much. You hear people say all the time, Alex, that God gave all of us free will. And if you challenge them on it, they'll say it's in the Bible. But I found out that, contrary to popular belief, the Bible does not say there is free will. Instead, it says the precise opposite, that there is no free will. Now, I don't have to tell you the enormous ramifications of this. How do you explain God's punishment of evildoers if it turns out that what they did was preordained by God? Now, mind you, Alex, I'm not saying there's no free will. How would I know? If someone asked me, I'd say, well, ask my neighbor or ask the local grocer. However, when they say... When Christianity says that the Bible says that there's free will, at that point I can step in and say, wait a while, folks, the Bible does not say that. Let me give you just a couple quick citations. Isaiah 63:17 says, Lord, why do you cause us some free will, Alex? Why do you cause us to stray from thy ways? Romans 11:32, God consigns all men to disobedience. The Talmudic scholars have been struggling for centuries over how can they get around Exodus 4:21, where God tells Moses, I will harden the heart of the Pharaoh, causing him to be stubborn and not release the people, referring to the Israelites in Egypt, apparently justifying his infliction of the ten plagues. It turns out, Alex, that the immortality of the soul was a pure invention of Plato. I traced it all the way back to Plato, which Christianity was almost forced to embrace. Why? Because without the immortality of the soul, there's no life after death. Without life after death, there's no heaven and hell. And I would ask you the rhetorical question, Alex, how does Christianity survive? How does it stay alive if there's no heaven and hell? I mean, this is what they offer or threaten their followers with.
Perhaps well, let me ask you this question, Vincent.
Yes.
I mean, I've studied Egyptology. They believed that the soul could be immortal, but it needed a place to dwell in, kind of like a ghost. And there were many other cultures that predate Plato 2,300 years ago or whatever. You're saying, sure, a lot of the Bible was out of Aramaic into Greek and then back and forth, but... I don't know. I mean, I haven't done current research on this to pull it up fresh, but I don't know if that's true, that Plato invented the immortal soul.
Well, it probably had been mentioned somewhere else, but he's the one in the dialogue Phaedrus, Phaedrus, that articulated the entire doctrine, and from there Judaism bought into it, and then Christianity. In Phaedrus, what Plato does, he presupposes the existence of God. He presupposes the existence of the soul. He presupposes that the soul is immortal because he presupposes that it was never born. And like I say in the book, if we presuppose I had wings, maybe I could fly. But I want to go beyond this because there are several other things. Here's probably the most startling thing in the entire book. And believe me, I wouldn't have written a book if I didn't have some startling things to say. But this is probably the most startling thing. I found evidence, Alex, in the New Testament, which, when read in conjunction with the Hebrew Bible, proves, not just beyond a reasonable doubt, but beyond all doubt, according to the Bible now, that Jesus was not born of a virgin, which by definition means he's not the Son of God. If he's not the Son of God, then the Christian doctrine that God had his Son die on the cross for our sins goes out the window, too, ravaging much of Christianity. I know this is very, very hard for your audience to believe. The only problem is that it happens to be the truth, and this is one reason why many people reading The Divinity of Doubt say that no one who reads this book will ever again feel the same way about God and religion. I want to touch very briefly on atheism. I view atheism as an intellectually barren philosophy whose current champions, I'm talking about people like Christopher Hitchens, Sam Harris, Richard Dawkins, these guys simply cannot find a non sequitur that they don't like. It's just one silly non sequitur after another.
Me, atheists are basically saying we know everything, and it's almost a religion that there's nothing. I mean, how do they know out of hundreds of billions of galaxies that there aren't entities and civilizations that are beyond anything we could even imagine God having? I mean, to state that, it's basically saying they know everything.
Oh, I know that. I don't know. No one knows whether or not God exists or not. But if he doesn't, I do not believe that atheistic dogma leads one rationally.
Well, here's what I'm saying, Vincent. A lot of people have had prescient events, psychic events, knowing that grandma just died, calling even though she wasn't sick. Yeah, grandma just died. How'd you know that? I mean, I've had things like that happen. Like, I'm not even going to get into it. It's ridiculous. I was fishing. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and tell the story.
Yeah.
6 a.m. driving out with a guide. I've been out there many times, Port Aransas, never run over a dolphin, never heard anybody running over a dolphin. The dolphins are super smart, and I have this super strong feeling we're going to run over a dolphin. 3 minutes later, we run over a dolphin.
Yeah,
come on, there's stuff going on we don't know about.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. But that doesn't mean that there's a God who created the universe because of that. But there are paranormal things going on. I don't reject it. Listen, I'm an agnostic. Now, let me explain to you now, because I think your audience should know this. Theists, of course, believe in God, right? Atheists do not believe in God. An agnostic says, I don't know. Perhaps a better definition of agnostic is someone who believes that the existence vis-a-vis non-existence of God is unknowable. Of course, if it's unknowable, you can't know. Now, I like to point out that there's a rather bright guy on my side. At least people tend to think he's bright. His name is Einstein. Einstein was an agnostic. Interestingly enough, Darwin turns out to be an agnostic. I say interestingly enough, Alex, because most evolutionists are atheists, and yet the founder of evolution, Darwin, turns out to be an agnostic. My view on the existence of God, it's an impenetrable mystery. It's beyond human comprehension. As Einstein said, the problem is too vast for our limited minds. And I think the most responsible position to take on this issue, on the eternal question...
He also said God would not play dice. He said God would not play dice with reality.
Yes, okay. Very sharp. Very sharp. I'm against a tough a cross-examiner. He said many things throughout his life. No one's been quoted more on God than Einstein. Many things during his life that gave fodder to theists, atheists, and agnostics. See, he's one of our own, and that's one of them right there. God does not play dice with the universe. The inference being, okay, he believes in God. But the only time I ever found where he used one of these appellations was in a letter, I think it was October 25th, 1950, 5 years before he died, to an M. Berkowitz. It's at the Princeton Archives, where he said, on the matter of God, I am an agnostic. That's the only time that I ever heard him use one of these words. But that's very good. You interjected something there, but very important. I love the non-literary articulation of agnosticism by Gertrude Stein. You know who she is. She said, there ain't no answer, there ain't going to be any answer, there never has been an answer, that's the answer. The great criminal lawyer of years ago, Clarence Darrow, said, I don't purport to know what ignorant men are sure of. Now, there's many other things we can talk about today. I don't believe the Christian God can possibly exist. He's a contradiction in terms. You can't be all good and all powerful at the same time.
No, Christ said that this is parables. The profane aren't going to understand this. And I read the Bible, it makes perfect sense. Those contradictions are subtleties in the context of the area they're being discussed, and then it all later integrates together.
I discuss the lilies of the field.
I mean, come on.
I discuss all of that. But Christianity and Judaism believe that God is all-powerful and all-good. He can be one or the other. He can't be both. For example, if you're all-powerful, that means you can prevent evil. And if you can prevent evil, you don't allow the Holocaust.
But God refuses to create robots. It's free will.
Well,
the globalists say I don't have free will because then they want to tell me what to do because they've got their will. They want me rudderless. Look, I got free will. I know I do.
Okay. I don't know if there's free will or not. Let's assume, even though I told you that the Bible says there's no free will, let's assume that there is free will. And you hear what Christians say. You're all given free will. God's not responsible for how you exercise. You've heard that many, many times. Okay.
Well, there are the Calvinists who say that we don't have free will.
That's exactly right.
And what a horrible idea!
I'm a slave,
and then God chose some to be evil, some to be good. This is all a test.
Well, Martin Luther, the founder of Protestantism, here's what he says. He says, "Quote: God foreknows and wills all things. He foresees, intends, and does all things according to his own eternal and infallible will." He says, quote, "This knocks free will flat." I'm not saying Luther is right, but he's the guy that founded Protestantism. He says, "This knocks free will flat and utterly shatters it." He says that man's will is free only to the extent of doing, quote, "the will of God, that man can do no good except through God's
grace."
Look,
I already know what my gut is experiencing creation.
But we do have free will,
but also there's providence. God does move through individuals if they're willing. That's the free will to turn yourself over as a vessel. And then there's those that have given themselves over to evil, then God will also use them. It's more complex than that.
Okay, I know that. But I get into the complexity and the divinity of doubt. But I want to ask you a question. I got a tough question for you because you've asked me some very good questions. The Christians say God gives you all free will, and therefore he's not responsible for death. Okay, I don't buy into that. Number one, he's also omniscient, so he knew what the monsters of history were going to do before they did it. Number two, he's supposed to be all-powerful. He knew they were going to do it. He didn't step in, okay? He did not prevent all
these
horrible
things. Because the soul's immortal. It's a test.
I haven't asked you my question yet.
All right.
So that's their argument, that he's not responsible. Let's take a hypothetical, Alex. You have parents, and they have a son, they call him Eddie, 17 years old, and he's robbing, raping, and murdering everyone in his area of town. The police don't know about it, but the parents do, and they have the power to stop him. But they say, you know, Eddie's got free will, and I'm not responsible for how he exercises, so I'm not going to try to stop him. What would you think of those parents?
They would be Satanist.
Okay, why, if God does the same identical thing, why do you have a supposedly good view of him that he gives us free will? He's not responsible. How do you reconcile?
Because by the very nature of creation, it is the individual decision to do good or evil that is set in motion. And so, of course, God knows the final outcome. But it is something that has to be played out because that's the nature of the space-time continuum dimensional overlay is that it must be free.
Well, if you were on the witness stand after a half hour, I think you'd have to back down from this because there's nothing solid in what you said. Someone did say, well, God is supernatural.
That's like declaring the moon declaratively is made of cheese. I mean, that might fool somebody who's got a low IQ on one of the jurors, but come on, I said something pretty heavy there.
Okay, but factually, it doesn't make any difference whether it's God or the parents.
But here's the difference, Mr. Bugliosi. I've had experiences I won't even share on air.
Okay,
let me tell you, this stuff is not vapors or hallucinations. The experiences I've had in my life that are mine and they're personal, let me tell you, there's a lot going on in heaven and earth that aren't in all your books.
Well, I agree on that. I agree, and I don't reject it. I'm an agnostic. I don't reject what you're saying. There's a lot of paranormal things going on. That doesn't necessarily mean, however, that there's a God who created the universe.
Okay.
Doesn't necessarily mean that. But there are strange things going on. A twin is brutalized by some thugs, and his twin across the country feels the pain at the same time.
No, it's all real. It's all real.
Yeah, no,
we only see a tiny fraction of reality.
But that doesn't translate necessarily to a God who created the universe.
Well, okay, let me ask you this question. I always had a dream, a recurring dream till I was about 12. I had it almost every week, where I would go to the very edge of the universe. I had it from the time I was a baby, first memories, till I was 12 or 13, then I stopped having it. Very intense. studying it, you know, scientifically, you'd say it was a low oxygen dream, something like that could manifest this. But it would be the great question of what happens at the end of the universe, what created matter to begin with, okay, Big Bang, what was before that, and then you have to ask, what is this dimensional creation? And then at the end of the dream, I was just gasping for air in the incredible presence of something so indescribable that it simply envisioned creation. I mean, come on, Vincent, what made all this then? I mean, where does it end? Where did it come from?
Can't you feel it?
Don't you feel it?
That's why I said I'm an agnostic. That's why Einstein and Darwin were agnostics. Talking about going all the way back, I want to give you a good argument that theism, those that believe in God, have come up with. And you probably, well, I'm sure you know about it. It goes back to the 13th century. Thomas Aquinas, his Summa Theologica, first cause. First cause means that everything in existence, whether it's a peach on a tree, a car, a shoe, was caused by something else, and that in turn was caused by something else. I'm going to get into the Big Bang in a moment here now. But this regression in the chain of causation, it's believed, cannot go back into infinity. It has to go back to something which was not caused by anything else, which was independent. Aquinas called it the first cause, the uncaused cause, if you will. And that uncaused cause, that first cause, theists believe is God. Now, how do the atheists and the scientists get around it? Well, they come up with the Big Bang Theory, which holds that at some point in time, about 13.7 billion years ago, the universe exploded into existence in a zillionth of a second from some subatomic particle. Now, apart from the fact that on its face it doesn't seem to make sense that the universe could explode into existence from something much, much smaller than the point of a needle, let's give the physicists their due. We don't understand these things. But there's also, I think, a very enormous defect with that reasoning. No matter how small that subatomic particle was, no matter how small it was something. And let me repeat, it was something. And the question is, and I went over to Caltech, read the books on it, the authors don't address themselves to the question, which is an automatic question, who put that something there? They don't ask that question, you follow?
And what made that something?
That's right, I agree. But are we going back to a first cause, as Aquinas says, and that first cause is God? I don't know. I'm not saying that first cause is dispositive of the issue, but it's a very difficult logical argument to get around.
Well, look, the point is we don't know what's going on. I can feel the presence of the energy source that creates all life in the universe, and I just feel so sorry for these atheists because they've like put the blinders on. You've got to be open to it to experience it. We'll be right back. Well, I want to be clear. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I am a Christian. And people can analyze it all day and, you know, say that a Christian God's impossible and find contradictions. You know, it's all an intellectual, but at the same time, personal and spiritual experience. And it's also, you know, one person reads poetry and sees ugly poetry. Someone else sees something beautiful. But that's why I wanted to get Vincent Bugliosi on today, because I think that by talking to him in this big book he's got out right now, that it gets people to you know, really think about the nature of the world. I just wonder why world leaders are trying to build a 10-union nation global government and trying to bring in this cashless society to track us. I guess you would say, Vincent, that all this Big Brother stuff, that's just basically people taking the Bible and using it as a blueprint or revelations?
No. I don't know why they're doing that. I'd have to study it.
Okay, so what's your view on the Big Bang then? Where did it all come from? Keebler elves?
What I just told you right now is that the Big Bang may not be valid. It may be God who created the universe. I gave you an argument for God. The atheists have yet to come up, in my opinion, with one persuasive argument for God. All they come up with is nonsense, non sequiturs. I'll give you a couple of their non sequiturs. If God existed, they say, why do we have all the horror and evil in the world? But that presupposes that God has to be all good, which is an obvious non sequitur. He obviously can be all powerful without also being all good. I'll give you another one, another non sequitur. Atheists do not believe that God created man. You know, they believe that man evolved from some original life form. You know, bacteria somehow evolved into Mozart. But that presupposes that God did not create this original life form and evolution took over from there. their biggest non sequitur out now, Christopher Hitchens and Sam Harris, they're the big proponents of this. They feel that if they can slay the dragon of organized religion, an unworthy opponent, they have therefore slain God. But this presupposes, Alex, that you cannot have God without religion, which is too ridiculous to even comment upon. A 2010 Pew National Poll showed that over 30% of Americans who do not belong to any organized religion still believe very strongly in God. The antithesis of God is no God, not no religion. But these atheists come up with one non sequitur after another. They're almost vapid. Theism's got that powerful, powerful argument of first cause. It's very difficult to get around. Are you there?
No, I'm just listening to what you're saying.
Oh, okay. I do want to say this for your audience. And I'm not bragging, okay? It just happens to be a fact. I've written the definitive book on the three biggest murder cases of the last half century, the Manson case, the Simpson case, and the Kennedy assassination. Now, how am I able to do this? Because my only master, Alex, I have no other master, is the evidence. I look for the evidence, then I evaluate it, and I draw inferences from it. Just last month, at the invitation of the Pentagon, I gave a three-hour lecture to Marine prosecutors down at Camp Pendleton. Everything I say in this book, Divinity of Doubt, I support. You may not agree with the support, but I give a lot of support for everything that I say, and I want your audience to know that about me.
No, I believe that you believe what you're saying, and only someone being honest could come to the fact that you don't know either way, and I respect that. You know, the atheist I find to be their own cult. And at the same time, I don't know if evolution's real or whatever. I just know I believe in God. That's a fake debate in the last 150 years that Christians were drawn into, where they then get into debates with scientists as a plan to discredit them. Who am I to say how God designed things or, you know, what went on? All these things saying the Earth 6,000 years old. And they are carbon dating, you know, million-year-old human bones. I just see it playing into a trap, and I see the system attacking Christianity because it's not compatible with this corrupt, stinking, humanistic world government eugenics system that's actually anti-human. We're back in 1 minute with Vincent Bugliosi, and I thought we'd have him on for some debate so we're not just here, agreeing with each other. I think it's very thought-provoking. Back in 1 minute, I'm Alex Jones. We got a new video going up. I'll tell you about two when we come back. Stay with us.
Oh, Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? All on that day, will I run to the rock? Please hide me and run to the rock.
All right, final segment with Vincent Bugliosi. And I got him on a host of issues, but what he's out currently promoting is his new book. He says he thinks this is most important, The Divinity of Doubt, The God Question. What's your view on prayer?
Well, my view on prayer, Alex, is that except now and then in a placebo sense, they're completely useless prayers, that two working hands can achieve far more than 100 million coupled ones. I wrote an entire chapter on it. Let me try to briefly summarize it. If people pray for something, let's say a promotion or whatever it is, and they get what they prayed for, causing them to believe that, quote, God answered my prayers. You've heard people say that. Shouldn't they then say to themselves, Alex, if God answered my prayers, this automatically means that God has the power, that's the key word, the power to answer prayers. And if he has the power, how can I possibly say God is all good when I know, absolutely know, no question, a no to 100% certainty, that he, if there's a God up there who has the power to answer prayers, he nearly always turns down the praying party when that party needs him the most. Like the 6 million Jews who most likely prayed to him during the Holocaust, like the incredible 25 million people who have already died worldwide from AIDS, the millions from genocide, starvation. The fact that we know God turned these millions of people down, telling them in effect, get lost, take a walk, should tell us that God not only is not all good, but he doesn't answer prayers. And if we happen to get what we prayed for, Alex, it had nothing to do with God. Look, if God answers prayers, Alex, and he's all good, why doesn't he ever answer the prayers for peace? There have been literally billions upon billions of prayers for peace down through the years. Yet groups and factions.
Well, here's the issue. Look, Here's the issue.
Well, I just want to finish what I have to say. They persist in warring viciously with each other, the evidence continuing unabated, Alex. Now, wouldn't one think, Alex, and then you can get to your own thing, wouldn't one think that people would finally come to the realization that either there's no one up there listening to their prayers for peace, or if there is, he doesn't have the power to stop the violence, or if he does, he has no desire to do so. Why don't they come to that realization that praying to him is like praying to a tree trunk? You answer that.
Vincent Diablo Bugliosi is our guest. I'm just joking. And obviously, if you don't believe, if you don't know if God exists, you don't know if the devil exists, Vincent?
No, I don't know. God may exist, and maybe the devil does, too. I don't know these things. But let me say something else, and this is going to be a tough one for you, but you're very, very bright, you're very sharp, but this is going to be a tough one. All theologians agree that God either caused or allowed everything to happen. That's not in question. If they don't agree to that, then he's not omnipotent. Pope John Paul II, in his book...
I know, we're almost out of time.
Okay, said that God allowed the Holocaust to take place. Now, here's my question. Whenever there's a catastrophe, like 9/11, for instance, millions immediately run to their church, synagogue, other place of worship, to pray for the victims and their loved ones to the very entity who caused or allowed the horror to take place.
Now, we've already been over this. God gives us free will, and there's no doubt that there is providence, and miraculous things have been documented over and over again.
I'm not denying that.
But if it's part of God's larger plan, it's like the country song, some of... God's greatest gifts were unanswered prayers. Who is that? Garth Brooks? I forget the exact name of the song. There's so many things that we've prayed for that it turns out later in the larger plan, and you can say, well, that gets rid of free will. I mean, it's basically a larger plan, but with free will, it's a combination of all those things put together, just like the universe is. It's a very complex situation, but we know there's a lot of things going on.
I agree with you 100%. A lot of things going on. But how do you pray to the very entity that caused or allowed, at least, the horror to take place? How do you do that? It doesn't make
you know
sense.
What? God didn't make Charlie Manson go out and cut the baby or have his minions cut the baby out of Sharon Tate.
No, but he knew it was going to happen before it happened, and he didn't stop it, Alex. He did not. He knew it was going to happen. He had the power to stop it, and he did not do so.
And I'll guarantee you that the people that happened to made decisions in their life and things that went on that... Again, overall, with the sum total, basically, it's what we all do in life then affects each other. Hey, Vincent, amazing discussion, and I look forward to speaking to you soon. I want to get you back on about the Mansons. I appreciate it.